Moment. Have a great Sunday. Stuart Clark coming up after the 8 o'clock news.
Sports Radio News for toyotamaterialhandling.com.au, Australia's first choice in forklifts.
26 degrees. Good morning, I'm Gemma Barth. As Australia grapples with the news, our country has been put on high alert for a terror attack on home soil. Muslims in Sydney's west want to show they mean no harm. A Muslims for Australia barbecue is being held at Lakemba this morning. Father of homegrown terrorist Mohammed Elamar will be front and centre. It's been revealed in the Telegraph a uniformed soldier was berated by a group of young men at the CBD who told him to go to the Middle East so we can blow your head off. Muslim leader Dr. Jamal Rifi has told the ABC they want Australians to realise it is a small group of extremists that are to blame.
We believe that we live in the best country on earth, and we wanted to keep it this way. And we don't want to change anything. We just need to participate, and we want to be seen as participating, and without exclusions and without targeting of our community, because we've been unfairly targeted for far too long.
A man is in hospital after being victim to a violent road rage incident in Sydney's west. The 54-year-old allegedly had his head slammed into a car door several times in Wetherill Park after being overtaken on the road. His alleged attacker has been charged and will face court next month. It's been nearly 3 days since a three-year-old boy was last seen at a home on the state's mid-north coast as the search for him intensifies. Hundreds of professionals and volunteers have been brought in to look for William Tyrrell, with crews combing bushland and several dams in the Kendal area. Jenny North from the SES says more volunteers are expected to join the effort.
The SES has had personnel on the ground since the search has begun. Yesterday we had about 50 members, and today we've got a further 50 on the ground to assist the police in that operation.
Licensed clubs could open childcare centres in exchange for tax breaks on pokies. The Herald reports Clubs Australia says the state's venues are well placed to deliver care to fill shortages. In a submission to the Productivity Commission, the association suggests it would help clubs diversify. First-time parents could be forced to take classes under a scheme to improve family relationships. Social Services Minister Kevin Andrews has told The Telegraph child protection groups have made a strong case for the programs. He's considering a trial to provide counselling and services to new mothers and fathers. In breaking news, there are reports that new videos from the Islamic State have been released, claiming to show the beheading of a third prisoner. Now to sport news. Penrith is one win away from a fairy tale grand final appearance after upsetting the Roosters 19-18 at Allianz Stadium. The Bondi club will now have to prepare for an elimination game while the Panthers enjoy a week off. Roosters skipper Anthony Minicello says they lost focus in the first half.
We're disappointed, there's no doubt about it, but as coach said, we fought hard to get a second chance, and we have. We're still in it.
Brisbane has been knocked out of the finals race after going down 32-20 to North Queensland. Melbourne and Canterbury do battle in a sudden death affair at Amy Park today. Australia has sealed a 3-0 victory over Uzbekistan to earn a place in the Davis Cup World Group. The doubles pairing of Leighton Hewitt and Chris Guccione led the green and gold to a 3-0 lead. Hewitt has told Fox Sports the 2015 campaign is in the hands of the draw.
We'll be playing one of the top 8 seeded nations, so a lot depends on who we get, but the boys are pretty pumped about it.
The Wallabies held off a late surge from Argentina to deliver a 32-25 victory on the Gold Coast. Port Adelaide is celebrating a 22-point win against Fremantle in the AFL semi-final at the MCG. The Power move on to play Hawthorn while North Melbourne meets Sydney on Friday night. Aussie Jason Day is tied fourth, 3 shots off the pace in the third round of the PGA Tour event in Atlanta. This is Macquarie National News. It's 8:04.
This sports update is for McGrath Mazda Liverpool. Still owe money on your car? Thinking of trading up? See the Next Car Now specialists and let McGrath Mazda put you in your dream Mazda now.
Where there's always a great deal for you.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
A mostly sunny day, light winds, tops of 23 degrees on the coast, 26 in the west. The chance of showers tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. Right now in the city, it's 13 degrees, humidity at 91%, winds from the northwest at 13 kilometres an hour. It's 10 at Bankstown, 9 at Gosford, Penrith and Richmond.
G'day, I'm Craig Lowndes. When you're on the road and behind the wheel, you need to be in full control of your senses. Get behind the wheel after you've been smoking pot,
and your senses are delayed. Your reaction time is slower, and you put yourself and others at risk.
driving stoned increases your chances of being in a crash by up to 300%.
How dope is your driving? Visit ncpic.org.au for more info or call the helpline on 1800 30 40 50 for advice and support.
Experience the best in country racing at the country track closest to Sydney. Nowra on Monday. It's Nowra's first meeting of the new racing season. Whether you're an owner or a punter, or just looking for a great day out, you can always rely on Shoalhaven City Turf Club to turn on a wonderful afternoon of racing. Enjoy the bistro and the bar, and get the best odds on offer from the bookies or the tote. Nowra, the premier racing location on the South Coast, racing this Monday.
Barry Pallister calling for it. James can only fist it. It comes for Cantona! I don't believe it! You just couldn't write this script.
It's come down to Graham. Back to the middle. It's down to Nicello. A long range shot from Anesta.
He's got it!
Oh!
On Sky Sports Radio, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Chock full of sporting news and views from around the country and around the world. Plus, have your say. Here's Jimmy Smith and Stuart Clark.
Well, if you reckon we were pumped up for the last hour, we are pumped up for the next 2 hours. Right up to 10 o'clock, Stuart Clark and Jimmy Smith in to take your calls, 8571 1017. All your feedback via SMS, 0419 767 272. That's 0419 SMS BSB. You can get us on the tweets as well, at Big Sports WEND, at Big Sports WEND. And of course, send the emails through. You can do that by going to the website, skysportsradio.com.au, and click on that feedback icon. I think we've got to talk a little bit about the Roosters v. the Panthers last night. Is that right, Stuart Clark? Good morning.
Morning, Jim. Why so glum, chum?
I'm not glum.
You are.
No, I'm not glum.
You were devastated sitting in the corner there, yeah, weeping when I walked in. The old paper bags won't be this full this week, I know that. But anyway, what about the Panthers, eh? There's been a lot of talk. I didn't think they could get there.
I was going to say, you're the guy that said they couldn't make the four.
I didn't think they could get there. But you know what?
They struggled to make the
eight. You know what? Who cares? They beat the Roosters last night. Who gives two hoots what I think? Right. They beat the Roosters last night. So the question is,
yes,
who are you going for now, Souths or the Roosters?
No, I'm going for the Roosters.
Because they have to play. They will have to play if the Roosters beat North Queensland next week.
Correct.
So it won't be a South Roosters grand final. It
cannot be a South Roosters grand final, which I exclusively tipped last week on this program. So the Roosters will play the Cowboys after last night's two results, and then the winner of that game will play the Rabbitohs. From today, the Storm taking on the Bulldogs. The winner of that game plays Manly. The winner of that game plays Penrith, who have earned themselves a week off, and they get a couple of players back. Adam Docker will be back in the side for their next game as well, and you probably think maybe a couple of guys returning from injury as well. So things are looking up for Ivan Cleary and the team. Now, Ivan Cleary, coach of the year.
Well, you have to go close. I think James Shepherd's probably just a little bit, probably can't give it to him this year.
Not this year.
But certainly, well, look what he's done with the team. You've got to, I don't know. Look, the coach of the year thing is it's a subjective thing. Like, who picks that anyway?
Well, it's a Dally M coach of the year. It's the announcement is made on the Monday of the grand final week. And the other thing about it is, if Michael Maguire takes the Rabbitohs to grand final, to the promised land, to grand final victory, then that's the coaching performance of the year.
Well, hang on, Trent Robinson goes back-to-back.
That's the coaching performance of the year. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I mean. There's
Paul Green in his first year. That's the coaching performance.
There's a little
of the
bit
year.
Still to go.
Yes.
So, but, you know, the coach of the year, all we know, all I can say is I think Ivan Cleary's done a wonderful job. Phil Gould out there, whatever he does behind the scenes, attracting players. They've got a good roster of players. They're attracting players.
Yes.
Up and up for the Panthers. Whether they win this year or not, it was a five-year plan. This is year one, or year two, or something like that. It was a five-year plan, don't forget.
Yeah. No, I don't think we will forget that. We keep reading about it.
Now, the question I've got for you, you've watched all games this weekend.
Yes.
Probably IQ'd them and watched some bits and pieces as well.
Slow-mo.
Souths, obviously, are now the premiership favourites. Given that they can't play the Roosters, who do you think they're going to play?
Well, there's a lot of footy to be played before that. I think Manly are really struggling. I think that 40-0 scoreline is going to be etched in my brain. The fact that they're able to come back and score 24 points at the end there is probably of little consolation. I think Anthony Watmo and Jamie Lyon are both in trouble. I think Kieran Foran will be okay, but we'll ask Zorba about that a little bit later on. I think Tarek Sims...
I suggest that Zorba's going to say they'll both be fine.
I understand. I think Tarek Sims will miss next week, undoubtedly. And then, of course, Jared Warrior-Hargreaves is a player on report as well. So from that point of view, but there's no doubt the Cowboys bring good form in. But what we've seen from all sides this weekend, I don't think we've seen an 80-minute performance from any team except Penrith. And I know they only just won, but they were good for 80 minutes. And the call from, I think it was Ivan Cleary set it up after the game last night. It might have been Jamie Soward. You have to play for 80 minutes to beat us. And the Roosters didn't, and they were beaten. It took them 80 minutes to beat them, but they got there in the end. Now, Jamie Soward, undoubtedly by the year, that's a given. I said before yesterday, when he won a premiership in 2010, when he played State of Origin in 2011, I'd never seen him play better than he has at this point, and he just reconfirmed it last night. That's got to be one of the great comeback stories to the NRL of all time.
Well, he was done and dusted after his time at the Dragons. I thought it was going to go pear-shaped there for a little while for him last night when he kicked one out on the full. He went for sort of a 40-20, put it 10 metres wide, and it could have gone really two ways at that point. If he let it play on his mind, the game could have just unfolded. The Roosters could have run over the top of him. Good night, Irene. But he didn't. And you know, the field goal wasn't... you wouldn't put it in one of the greatest field goals you've ever seen. But does it matter? Does it matter? No, it doesn't. It went over. Yeah. And he won in the game. And you saw a little bit of emotion after the game from Jamie Soward, because Brad Fittler went straight to him.
Yeah.
And it was good to see.
Yeah.
Like, it was just good to see the emotion coming out of him. It wasn't a staged interview. It was, we've just won the game. How excited are we? We've earned... And he said something which I found interesting is, we've earned the week off.
Mm.
And it wasn't like, oh, we deserve it. No, we've earned it. We've played good footy for 10 weeks straight. Now we deserve a week's rest. We'll get a couple of players back. Whether they get in the team or not, I don't know, because it's very hard to leave guys out of a team after they've just won a qualifying semi-final.
Yeah, fair point. He knows theatre, Jamie Soward. A lot of people don't like him, but he knows theatre, and he knows how to play that. He'll play the villain if you want him to, or play the hero, whichever, depending on who you support.
In all fairness, he's not my cup of tea. I don't find him... captivating when I listen to him. But you know what? He's a good footballer.
Yeah.
He does the job, and he's doing the job for Penrith. Good luck to him and well done to him.
All-time villains in sport. We'll take your thoughts on
villains.
That. 85, 71, 10, 17.
Would you have been a villain?
Oh, of course not.
Would you have been a villain?
No, I was a shy retiring
quickly, cop. I was talking to you off-air about just the South Manly game.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether you noticed or not, but there was a little bit of chirp from the South guys towards Daly Cherry Evans.
Who was, by the way, very, very quiet.
And it couldn't quite pick up what was going on, but I'm suggesting they were saying to him that no one in your team likes you.
Yeah.
And
which may or may not be correct.
But it just looked like that, because every time he did something,
yeah,
three or four South blokes were near him, and you could see their mouths going. It's a bit like sledging in cricket. You can see the mouths going, but no, you can't quite tell what's going on. And if I was playing against Daly Cherry Evans, I'd be certainly telling him.
Well, his form hasn't been good of late, and he was very quiet on Friday night. And if there was one guy, if he played well, was going to get Manly into that contest, it was going to be Daly Cherry Evans. So,
and I reckon it's
he's
affecting
the key
him.
Player.
And I reckon it's just affecting him a little bit, because there's been so much speculation about the rift that's going on.
Yes.
The other thing with the Manly game is, and I know we've got to get moving here, but when you're winning, it papers over all the dramas.
Correct.
All the cracks are just, you know, filled in nicely.
Correct.
You only got to lose once or twice. And they're as wide as the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the worry with Manly.
Andy Pascalidis with all the latest from the world of football. We'll speak to Zorba about Manly and other things in the National Rugby League. We've got the Z&Z quiz, of course. Went off with a hitch last week. It'll probably do the same again this week. Dean Bulldog Richie with all the latest news. Glenn Munsey with all the latest prices. And then, this is exciting, we're going to speak to Ewan McKenzie after the Wallabies had a victory last night, 32 points to 25 in a tough game against the Pumas up there at on the Gold Coast. And then we'll speak to an absolute star of the National Rugby League. He's just re-signed with the Panthers for the next couple of years, Matt Moylan. Well, great to get his insights into the game last night and what they'll be doing over the next fortnight in preparation for their next match. It's a huge show. It is the Big Sports Breakfast weekend. We'll take your calls after 85 71 10 17.
Save Our Sons are having a raffle. We're fighting DMD. It's a muscle-wasting disease, almost exclusively affecting boys. Tickets are only a dollar, and the prize is $20,000 to go towards paying off debts, rents, mortgages, credit cards, things like that. Drawn December 6, 2014, contact Save Our Sons on 02-9554-6111 or get us online at saveoursons.org.au. Every dollar counts.
Sydney traffic on Sky Sports Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Doors Point, if you're heading across the Harbour Bridge from the city's north, the southern pylon, lane 1, they're still awaiting a tow truck for broken down vehicle. Lots of mist around, thick fog in some patches around Sydney's southwest and greater west, and heading up to the central coast for the M1 Pacific Motorway as well. Castle Hill and Old Northern Road closed out between Showground Road and Castle Street for the Orange Blossom Festival. Right now at Freedom, NRMA members save 30% on outdoor furniture, but hurry, ends Monday. Simply show your NRMA membership card at Freedom and save. Conditions apply. That's the latest traffic, number one in Racing Sky Sports Radio.
50 months interest-free store-wide now at Harvey Norman. Zero interest, no deposit with equal monthly payments until November 2018. Technology, entertainment, home appliances, furniture, bedding in Manchester. Huge range in store and online. Buy now with 50 months interest-free. Zero interest, no deposit with 50 equal monthly payments until November 2018. Approved applicants only. Minimum finance amount $490. Interest applies if you do not comply with terms and conditions. Fees and exclusions apply. See website for details. Hurry. Limited time offer. 50 months interest-free store-wide at Harvey Norman.
Sports stars love to call the Big Sports Breakfast.
Hi, this is Paul Dow. Congratulations, boys, at the Big Sports Breakfast. 15 years. There is no doubt my input has taken you to the top of the ratings. Enjoy it. All the best. Take care.
Happy birthday to you guys at the Big Breakfast. 15 years. Long time. Congratulations. Well deserved.
Hi, this is Mike Tom Alaris. Congratulations, TK and Flats. 15 years and 15 years of great service covering the world's greatest bike race, the Tour de France.
Celebrating 15 years of the Big Sports Breakfast.
This is Sky Sports Radio. On the Big Sports Breakfast weekend, it's time to kick a few goals with our very own Mr. Soccer, Andy Pascaliti.
Oh, he is our very own Mr. Soccer. It was a massive game last night. It was Arsenal up against Man City. 2-2 was the outcome. Does that tell the story of the game? Good morning, Andy.
Yes, good morning. It was a cracking game, the first game of round four, and I went for Arsenal to win this one, and it looked like it might have been the case when Alexis Sanchez made it 2-1 in the 74th minute. And Man City playing without no Yaya Toure, Lampard, Fernandinho started. They didn't look the best, but Demichelis equalises with 7 minutes to go and spoils the party for the Gunners, and that leaves the Gunners in seventh position. They've only had the one win, but they've had three draws in four starts, and Man City are in fifth position. They've had two wins, one draw and one loss. So a cracking start to round four.
All right, Man U v QPR tonight.
Can't wait for that one, actually. I can't wait to see the multi-million dollar attacking force that, you know, Van Gaal has assembled. He's got all the new signings available. So there's $260 million worth of cattle ready to go. It should be a cracking game. I think they'll have too much for QPR. And I just want to say one thing, too, just out of those games overnight, Stuart.
Yeah.
One of the standout performances, aside from Liverpool suffering a shock 1-0 loss at home to Villa, was Diego Costa. If you get the chance, have a look at his hat-trick for Chelsea. That's seven goals now in four games. And we've got to commend Chelsea because so far they're the only side that have won four out of four. So they're 2 points clear of the surprise packet. Aston Villa.
Yeah, that's a big win for Villa, beating Liverpool at Anfield. All right, let's go to La Liga news and Real Madrid. This is the second loss of the season for Real, beaten 2-1 by Atletico.
And I think it's fantastic that in Spain it's not really a two-horse race anymore. Atletico have shown us, particularly last season, what they can do. And they got off to a great start in the 10th minute. Thiago, then typically Cristiano Ronaldo equalised from the penalty spot. But Arda Turan scored with 13 or 14 minutes to go. And mind you, this has happened at the same time when Barcelona have got up at home 2-0 against Athletic Bilbao. And two very late goals there. And have a guess who scored. Neymar scored both of them.
Ah, he's back from injury. It's good to see.
Yeah, he's back and obviously got the goal-scoring touch. Never leaves him.
Certainly doesn't. Now, in some Aussie news, Melbourne-born midfielder Andy Rose scores the winner for the Seattle Sounders in the MLS competition. We don't hear a lot about the MLS, do we?
We don't. We only sort of hear about it when, you know, when Timmy Cahill pretty much does his stuff with Thierry Henry at New York Red Bulls. I mean, the Red Bulls actually are in fourth position in the Eastern Conference, but Seattle Sounders, where Melbourne-born Andy Rose has been playing for the last couple of years, they're coming first in their conference. So that's absolutely brilliant news in the Western Conference. And they got up today against Real Salt Lake 3-2, and typically it was Andy Rose who scored from midfield in the 90th minute. He's a Melbourne-born midfielder. Haven't seen him involved with any of the senior Socceroos sides or young Socceroos or anything like that, but I just wonder, it might be a matter of time before Ange has a little bit of a look at a player we don't hear much about.
Isn't the Seattle Sounders the side that Drew Carey's part owner of?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Imagine getting inspired by Drew Carey.
Jimmy's been following that those women's days again, isn't he?
No, I love it. Now, the Wanderers head off to Korea tomorrow. I was seeing there's some sort of speculation that if they do make the final, Parramatta Stadium not big enough.
I don't think it will be. What's their membership base? Their membership base is ticking close to 16,000 at the moment, so they've got the second biggest membership base in the A-League behind Melbourne Victory. But, they've got to get through FC Seoul. It's going to be tough in the first league. They're missing some key players through suspension, including Tommy Urich. They play away on Wednesday. But they've shown us they can cause the surprises in this competition, and fingers crossed they come back from Seoul with some sort of result, at least a draw or an away goal. And it sets them up for the return leg at Parramatta Stadium. And we can dare to dream beyond that if they can get through that, and they'll play at ANZ.
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be great. Now, just before we let you go, Man United $1.25, the draw $6, QPR $8.50. What's your tip in that one, Andy?
I'll be going for Man United at home. They're unbeaten, actually, in the last 15 meetings against QPR, stretching back to 1992.
Okay, you got a correct score for us?
I'll go for 2-0.
Manchester United 2-0, paying $6.50. All right, good on you, Andy. Appreciate that. Have a great Sunday, mate.
We will indeed, and we've got the New South Wales Premier League Grand Final at Sydney United Sports Centre, Sydney Olympic taking on Blacktown City, so there's plenty of football locally as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Andy Pascalidis there with all the latest from the world of football. 8571 1017 is the open line number. Love to have your thoughts on, well, anything from last night, the weekend that's been, the National Rugby League semi-finals. We've also had the AFL semi-finals. The Wallabies had a 32-25 win over the Pumas last night. We'll speak to Ewan McKenzie a little bit later on in the program. We'll also speak to Matty Moylan a little bit later on in the program. And look, there's no name on this one, but I thought I better read it out.
It's quality.
Stuart.
It's a quality.
Ha, ha, ha. Sucked in, you Bondi latte-sipping half-wit and know-it-all. Soured's cool head and experience sunk you big time in the last 3 minutes. Yeah! Soured by the year. You got that right. Cleary has to be coach of 2014. Casualty ward full. No superstars. Panthers have been consistent all year. Gus must have a huge smile on his face. Moylan is special. A lot of exclamation marks after all of that
no
stuff.
No name, though.
No name on that one.
Name.
We do appreciate that.
I think it's Barry from Blacktown. I'm going to say Barry from Blacktown.
There you go. Well, Barry from Blacktown is very happy with the Panthers' win last night and doesn't mind rubbing it in at all. 8571 1017, the open line number. Oh, here's Adrian from Dural. Morning, Adrian.
How you going, guys?
Yeah,
good, thanks, Adrian.
We're very well.
Mate, fantastic game. The Panthers and the Roosters are clearly the best game so far. Interesting to hear Trent Robinson's comments, and I'm glad he didn't. I didn't hear the whole shebang. I hope he wasn't thinking that the Roosters got a poor rubber of the green.
No, all he said was that the referees weren't up to scratch with the way they allowed stoppages in the play, and he also felt that the Remy Custy no try double movement was actually a try.
I'll tell you what they got away with was when you talk to Matt Moylan, he got attacked in the air by Daniel Tupou.
Yeah, I agree
that was
with that.
A disgraceful decision, and then led to it just before the Roosters try. And
yeah,
that was blatant.
That. And the other one was the Sonny Bill Williams,
one that went the Roosters' way. That was a disgraceful decision.
The thing about it is that there are a few errors from the referees, but I think Trent Robinson and the Roosters would say, you lead those games 12-4 and then you lead those games 18 points to 12, you have the right to put them to bed, and they didn't last night.
And the whole wash up of the thing, to me, the Roosters got a better rub of the green than the Penrith did.
What about this afternoon, Adrian? You're a Dogs fan. What's going on?
Well, well, doesn't really matter, I don't think.
That's good positive
support. No, but seriously, but I mean, what I had this conversation, for once someone, leading journalist agreed with me, is that he can't believe that Josh Morris, who plays right side for New South Wales, Tim Lafleur is our best attacking weapon, he much prefers the left side, and Desi won't swap him around. And he won't put Corey Thompson at fullback. It's just, if he doesn't change things up, it's just going to be the same result. It's going to be another, probably average. We've got to try and make our back three the best attack, or back line the best attacking that we can. Seriously.
Well, that's right, you do. I actually give the Dogs a hope today. I reckon they can get closer. The plus 9.5, I really like that.
There is
the
a bit in the paper that Cameron Smith's going to be fully fit. I don't know how he can be fully fit after a week. He basically played played 40 minutes on a busted ankle last week.
It'll be a level playing field. As you run out there, you seem they deem you as 100% fit. So he'll most definitely be playing, I would have thought. Dave is up there on the Gold Coast. G'day, Dave.
Gents, how are you?
Really well, thanks.
I actually have to commend Trent Robinson for what he said. The amount of stoppages for cramps or some bloke that's got a hairline fracture in his skin or something, it's just ridiculous. seriously. And I talk about it being a gladiator sport. That's the one thing. That cramp stoppage is just ridiculous.
Well, that's the whole part of the game, isn't it? James Seguiaro is such an important part of that Panthers side, and if at the 60-minute mark he's cramping up, then that's the game taking its toll.
That's his problem.
That's right. And I think, Dave, you ever talk to anyone, the amount of time that it's taking for games to be played is quite incredible these days, and I've got no problem with that, but institute consistency across all of the games, so that if you're stopping it for there, then you're stopping it at the same for other games. And the other thing is, don't underestimate the impact that is having on what type of athlete is playing the game now.
Correct.
Because with so many stoppages and the 10 interchange, there is much more recovery time for the athlete.
Two other quick things, gents. That was just the best semi-final. Not just because Penrith won and the fairy tale continues, but when your back's against the wall, listen, Manly's got the issues, and I am a Manly supporter, but to watch last night, that put me on the edge of the seat.
Good game of footy. That.
Sure, you just got to ease up on Jimmy there, mate. Don't give it to him too early.
Oh, what about the Panthers?
What
do you think he says to me all year about the Sharks? Come in here and just cop it about the Sharks here, right, from Jimmy. It's good to see the Roosters getting dusted.
I love the fact, Dave, and thank you for your call. I love the fact that Stuart supports the Sharks. They've run the wooden spoon, but somehow
I support
there's an imbalance that's come in because
I support anyone.
The Roosters were beaten in a semi-final by the side that you 6 weeks ago said couldn't make the top four and would struggle to make the top eight.
I don't care about that. Whoever beats the Roosters, because I don't like the Roosters.
I know that.
I go for them. Doesn't matter who it is. It could be the Warringah Rats playing in a game of mixed rugby league. I'd be going for the Warringah Rats.
Look, Stuart, watch out. There's a bandwagon going past, mate. Go and have a jump on it.
Oh, geez, that's big coming from you.
Thanks,
big
buddy.
Coming. How many teams you got again?
Just a couple. They're both still in contention. Hello, Rob from Lethbridge Park.
Oh, g'day, boys. How you going?
Good, thanks,
really
Rob.
Well, thanks.
Buddy, I've been listening for years and years going back to Zorba. It's my first call.
Yeah.
And, last night, everyone's writing off the Panthers, eh?
They were.
I can't believe that.
And I work for one of Nick Politis's companies at Parramatta. I'll probably dob myself in now.
Yeah.
You used to work there at least.
About the only Panthers supporter there, but what about their defence, eh?
Oh, it was a classic game. It was a really good game of footy, Rob, and the thing that I love about... I was really happy that the Panthers made the top four because I think they deserved it. With all those injuries that they had late in the year, they were still able to find a way to win. They were really professional against the Warriors on last Sunday night. They got themselves into the final. And Ivan Cleary and Phil Gould and Warren Wilson and everyone else involved in the Panthers out there has given every other club in trouble, and I'm talking West Tigers, I'm talking Gold Coast Titans, Canberra Raiders, a blueprint about how to rebuild clubs.
Mate, what about Jennings when he knocked on and Penrith scored? And we went in there.
A little sense of irony for that one. I'm sure the Panthers fans really enjoyed that. And the piece of work from Dallin Watene-Zelezniak to get that ball back in and to recognise the ball was still alive for that try. That was superb. He's only, I think he's 19 years of age.
So they play. Do you give him a hope? Do you give him a hope next week? Or not the week after?
Well, who will they have? They'll have the winner of the Manly versus the Storm or Bulldogs game. Absolutely. I've got to say, there's a really strong side of the draw, and there's a weaker side of the draw, isn't there? You've got the Roosters and the Cowboys, and then the winner of that plays the Rabbitohs. That's clearly the strong side of the draw. And now Bulldogs not in great form. Storm will have to play away from home. Mm. Manly not in great form. And then you've got Penrith. A Penrith grand final appearance is not out of the question at all.
Well, it probably goes to show how much injuries have affected certain teams. And the key position of hooker. Jake Friend being out last night.
True.
Matt Ballon being out for Manly.
True.
It just makes a massive difference. And so, you know, the Roosters last year, you've said it quite a bit on this show, that they basically had 18 of...
They had one player that was unavailable for injury.
Now they've got a couple of injuries. Yeah. Michael Jennings going off. Hargrave's going to be in trouble. Manly have got Glenn Stewart out. They've got Matt Ballon out.
Jamie Wine and Anthony Watmore.
They've got some issues. So, injuries and suspensions are going to play a massive... massive part in this. But just before we get to the team, there's an email come in. If the Roosters get beaten next week, Phil the Dragon says, seeing the Roosters are 100K under the cap, they better go out and buy some more players.
Good point, Phil.
Very good, Phil. That's really good. And
well, Sonny B. Williams won't be there next
Very perceptive of you, Phil. If they're under the salary cap, buy more players.
Sports Breakfast Weekend with a sports update. Here's Tanya White.
Penrith produced a magnificent come-from-behind win against the heavily favoured Roosters in a thrilling NRL final last night at Allianz Stadium, winning 19-18. The Panthers only secured the win with seconds to go when skipper Jamie Soward kicked a field goal 35 metres out, just making it above the crossbar. It may have looked an ugly kick off the boot, but it was beautiful to the team and to their fans. Coach Ivan Cleary saying that you don't get much more fun than that. Meantime, in Townsville, North Queensland took advantage of its brilliant home record with a 32-20 win over Brisbane. Leading 24-0, the Cowboys let their guard down in the second half, with the Broncos almost pulling off an extraordinary comeback, but it wasn't to be. The loss knocks Brisbane out. In today's other elimination final, Melbourne are home to Canterbury, so Penrith have next weekend off. The Roosters will play the Cowboys, and the winner of today will take on Manly. Argentina showed they are closing the gap in world rugby, matching the Wallabies 3 tries with 3 of their own in the championship match last night on the Gold Coast. Australia won the game 32-25 in front of a very poor crowd of just over 14,000, while in Wellington, New Zealand held on for a 14-10 win over South Africa. It was the end of the road for Fremantle last night, going down to Port Adelaide 105-83 in the AFL elimination final in Perth. The Dockers led by 31 late in the second quarter, but Port's Robbie Gray dominated the third term with 4 goals, turning the game around, and the underdogs went on from there. In next weekend's prelim finals, Sydney plays North Melbourne and Port Adelaide will play Hawthorn. The EPL blockbuster between Arsenal and Man City overnight ended in a 2-2 draw, with Man City scoring the equaliser with just 7 minutes to go. In other results, Chelsea 4-2 over Swansea, Crystal Palace and Burnley 0-0, Southampton 4, Newcastle 0, Stoke 0, Leicester 1, Sunderland and Tottenham 2-2, West Brom 0, Everton 2, and Liverpool 0, Aston Villa 1. Jamie Wincup and Paul Dumbrell have pole for the 161-lap Sandown 500 today. The two won the race last year. Meantime, Marcus Ambrose has announced he'll be leaving NASCAR at the end of the season to return home, but there's no word on whether he plans to return to the V8s. And still on motorsport, Jorge Lorenzo is on pole for the San Marino MotoGP. Curry Webb is one off the lead after the third round of the Women's Golf Major at the Evian Resort Golf Club in France. At 7-under, the Aussie trails South Korea's Hoi Jo Kim, who is at -8. And at the Tour Championships in Atlanta, Jason Day is 3 off the lead after an even par third round. Billy Horschel and Rory McIlroy lead there at 9-under. Jim Furyk is outright third at 7-under. And looking to Adam Scott, he's in 10th place at -4. The crowd last night at Robina looked really ugly to watch on the TV. It looked very sad, actually.
14-281. Yeah, 14-281.
Yeah, so was it a bad choice to play in Robina? Fiji, not long ago, it was a bad crowd that was played in Canberra. Should they just stick to the main centres at the moment? Particularly, they're not drawing very good crowds. That was the worst crowd this century, apparently. Mm.
And then they get criticised for not taking it to the people, I suppose. But they are, the thing about a Wallabies test match, they're corporate events. And a lot of people go to them because they're events rather than it's a good game. It's going to be a game of footy.
Correct.
That's an outing.
And I don't know the exact situation there, but the last time I was at the stadium at Rabuna there, there's basically one road in and one road out. It's a nightmare to get to and get away from. So maybe that is having an impact. We know that the Gold Coast Titans crowds are falling away dramatically. And look, people on the Gold Coast might be able to tell me a little bit differently. Why do crowds not turn up? Because it's a purpose-built stadium that is fantastic to watch footy at, and I don't know why people don't turn up.
I don't know. The Suns, I don't know what their crowds are like, whether they're...
The Suns crowds are growing.
Right? Are they growing?
Yeah,
they?
And they've just secured Gary Ablett Jr. for another 3 years, I believe. Undisclosed amount.
They're also playing a better brand of footy. Like the Gold Coast Titans have just... They were going right at the start of the year and then just fell off the edge of a cliff type stuff. So people don't... If you're winning people's support, if you're getting flogged all the time, or you're playing horrible brand of footy... And the Wallabies, in all fairness, yes, they're... I suppose they're on... They were on a downward curve and they're on the upward curve now, for want of a better term.
Yeah.
But it's still not...
Only just, though.
Yeah, if they were playing the All Blacks, I bet you would have got a full crowd. They're only playing Argentina.
You think so?
Yeah, I think they would have.
Well, that's the thing. You don't play the All Blacks at the Rabuna. You play them at ANZ Stadium.
Because you get 80,000 or 75,000 or 60.
Or you play them in Hong Kong or in Tokyo because you're getting paid millions of dollars to go there.
So that's the games you're going to get. Like the games, you know, in Perth, you get them whatever they get over there, but you don't play your biggest test match.
No.
Where you get the smallest crowd. That just doesn't make any sense.
But
the Wallabies need to put on some bigger games, like better scores. They're only just winning, aren't they?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's a good side. The
Waratahs are a good example of that. They played an attacking brand of football. They threw it around. They played a fast style of football. People started to go. And they were winning, but that, you know, it's a whole package type thing.
Yeah. Absolutely. We're going to talk a little bit after the break about... we are. We spoke about it off-air last week.
Did we?
When I was driving up to Newcastle.
I really can't remember last week.
it was just about commentators and how they're...
You want me to give you some raps because of that article a couple of weeks ago? Are you looking for a bit of positive reinforcement here?
No, I'm not. But the impact that commentators can have on a code... I think it's very important. I know Zorba will have some thoughts on that as well. 85-71-10-17. We'll chat to the great man after the break.
Want to see the best horses in country New South Wales? Want to see the best jockeys in country New South Wales? Want to have a great day out at the races? Then don't miss Dubbo Turf Club's 2014 Dubbo Gold Cup today. Great catering, fun for everyone. Bet with the bookies of the tote for top odds. Witness the cream of country racing compete for over $160,000 in prize money. Gates open at noon today. Dubbo, it's your cup. Frock up and flock out.
The Group 1 Underwood Stakes, over the 1,800-metre journey at Caulfield, is a race quality horses win. More than a few have won the Underwood Cox Plate Double, while others, such as Rain Lover and Jern, have chalked up Underwood Stakes and Melbourne Cup wins. A handful of gallopers have also won Underwood Caulfield Cup Doubles, including Gay Icarus in 1971, Tristark in 85, Northerly in 2002, and Elvstrom in 2004.
Elvstrom kicking back on the inside. She's R10 Elvstrom, well cleared at Del Zayo. Elvstrom fights back. He's hit the front again. Elvstrom draws away, and Elvstrom beats She's R10 length and a quarter.
In 2012, it was Ocean Park's Underwood.
Ocean Park, December draw, and then Managar Sincero. Waila Isi with Ocean Park claiming him. December draw running on. Ocean Park's grabbed the lead, though, and the Kiwi Ocean Park beat Waila Isi. Half a length for December draw third.
This Saturday afternoon, join us on Sky Sports Radio for the running of the Group 1 Wait for Age Underwood Stakes.
On Sky Sports Radio... This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, radio's biggest and best serve of weekend sports.
ZNZ quiz coming up very shortly, but time to speak to the Big Z, Zorba. We're just trying to get him on the line, 85-71-10-17. We're loving to know his thoughts on some big issues coming out of that great game last night. We want to know about Tarek Sims' shoulder charge, the Anthony Wormo line charge there. We're both on report. Jared Warrior Hargreaves on report, and there's also a couple of questions around the Manly playing group, of course, which seems to bubble along.
Well,
has done for the last 3 months.
Well, it'd be interesting to ask over that, and I think we've got him on the line now. I think he's finally picked up his phone. Been out latteing it up this morning.
Yeah, he'll be
latteing
somewhere.
Down the Corso.
Don't you love a generalisation?
Yeah. That's what I hear, down the Corso. Morning, Zorb.
Morning.
You're down the Corso, have you?
Been to Corso this morning, yeah. Had a cup of coffee, had a look around.
Got a pie from Glenn Stewart and Brett Stewart's shop.
They're not open yet.
What about Dean Bulldog Richie with the plug and all that for a couple of muffins? Zorb, classic game last night. Now, just take us down memory lane. The two commentators that were hired to sell the Sydney Football Stadium, as it was known, the memberships back in 1988. I've got an idea who one might have been.
Yeah, well, the other one's going to be interesting for you. I don't reckon you pick him up. Of course, he's one of Australia's greatest commentators. Goal, goal, goal for Australia. Norman May.
Yeah. Mm. And just inducted into the SCG Hall of Fame, Media Hall of Fame too, Norman May.
Well, he deserves to be. I mean, what a wonderful commentator, and I think we all grew up, us that are interested in sport, and most Australians are. I mean, Norman May, through the ABC, took us to so many Olympic Games and so many triumphs, and, of course, that catchphrase of his, goal, goal, goal for Australia, will always be remembered. Fantastic stuff. He was a good bloke to work with, and great times. Manly had won the last game at the SCG, Manly Canberra Grand Final in 87, 88 it opened, then 89, one of the greatest grand finals that I've ever had the privilege of watching and calling.
Yeah.
That was the Balmain versus Canberra game where, yes, Warren Ryan took off Steve Roach and Paul Sirin, and I think one of his greatest mistakes in coaching.
Yeah. There has been some classic games. Yeah.
The other one was the Mark Coyne try, yes, in Origin 1 in 1994 when they were gone in that game. And it's been described as the team try of the century. People can see it on YouTube, and it's a heck of a try. But I thought last night we revisited that in the same corner, in Coyne's corner, up in the paddo end, yeah, of the ground. We saw that brilliant bit of stuff by the young fellow, the young winger, Zalesniak. And, you know, to keep the ball in play, he was like a giant-sized Nureyev in the corner, wasn't he? Kept it in for Farray to score. It looked impossible, and nobody thought it was a try until we went to the replay.
Yeah.
But the referee got it right, and it was then sort of soured with probably his greatest ever conversion under pressure.
Great kick,
and then a wobbly-looking field goal for just an amazing win and a tremendous effort by Penrith with the players they've got down to beat a great, great side like the Roosters, who I still think can win this competition, but they're going to have to... I just think they switched off last night. They thought they were home and hosed.
Well, Zorba, I think they can win. They need Jake Friend back very, very urgently. I don't know how far away he is. I know that's...
Probably next week.
There's talk that he'll be back, but he's got to see, he had a serious injury there for a little while.
Well, I are missing him, and it showed again last night, but yeah, they probably did enough to win that game. But Penrith's team spirit, I think, is marvellous, and it's amazing that the guy that helped build it, Phil Gould, was on duty up in Brisbane, missed that game.
Yeah, I know.
He would have been just delighted with the comeback. I thought they had, it was a real team effort, but I thought Brent Kite up front just showed the way with his experience.
Certainly did. All right, the South side gave Manly what can be described only as a touch-up on Friday night. Manly look a bit busted up, Zorb, with a few injuries as well.
Yeah, that was an embarrassing loss. There's no other way to put it. I thought we looked at times boys against men.
Mm.
I thought our forward pack, you know, just got run over. And you can't expect a good set of backs to play behind a forward pack that got beaten like that. No, it was a sad, sad night for Manly fans, but a great one for South Sydney. I'm still not convinced they're the side that's going to win it. I think there's a lot of twists and turns yet.
Now, Zorba, I was talking a bit earlier, watching the game on Friday night, it appeared to me that Daly Cherevins came in for a little bit of verbal or mental disintegration by the South side. A little bit of chat, sort of, I'm suggesting, aimed towards the fact that he's got a few issues with certain players in the team. Can you confirm that, or you don't really know?
With the South players?
The South players giving Daly Cherevins, sledging him, basically.
Well, to tell you the truth, I couldn't watch the replay. I don't like horror movies. and I didn't pick up on it where I was seated up in the high-res box. I didn't pick it up. I was too busy telling Mario Fenwick to shut up and reminding the South haven't won since 1971.
Actually, just on that, someone else who was in the high-res box said, yeah, Mario was asked to calm down. He was getting that pumped up on Friday night. All right, some questions to come out of the weekend, Zorb. Tarek Sims, Will he be charged for the shoulder charge on Justin Hodges, in your opinion?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So I've seen, but also I think he was at the centre of something last night I didn't like. Martin Kennedy has been, I think, together with Ben Barber, one of the worst buys that Brisbane's made in a long, long time. But last night, he pulled what appeared to be a calf muscle.
Yes, yes.
He stopped dead in his tracks. Yes. It was obvious that he was injured.
Yes.
And Sims came in from the side and hit him in the ribs while he was almost kneeling down. It was within the rules, but I think there's toughness and there's toughness. And that wasn't toughness. I think that was a cheap shot to a guy that was wounded. And if anything, it was unsportsmanlike behaviour, uncalled for. And I don't think it shows the game in a good light.
Well, Ray Thompson did it as well. And to be honest, I saw it and had no problem with it.
Really?
Yeah.
I agree with you completely. The bloke was on all fours and they came in and whacked him in the ribs. I was watching thinking, surely there's something.
It was just uncalled for.
Correct. There's nothing wrong with it.
I'm glad you mentioned Thompson because I didn't pick up. He was number 14,
wasn't
he?
Yeah, Ray Thompson, number 14. He did it as well.
I can't cop that in the game. It's tough enough without a bloke that is... What did it serve?
No, I agree with you. Norbert, you don't need to sell it to me.
All right. Okay. Anthony Watmo, Jamie Lyon on report. Will they miss next week?
Based on what we've seen, you'd have to be very concerned, and I am.
Yep.
Chock's got loading, and I don't know how involved Jamie was in that, but, he was there, but he's got an impeccable record. I think Chock's got a case to answer,
They're going to argue that Greg Inglis tried to get himself to the ground. I watched the replay a few times. Greg Inglis tries to get himself on the ground so he can get up quickly. They will argue that strongly.
I think one of the biggest problems Manly had in the game on Friday night is that Souths were always landing on their belly.
Yeah.
And to do that, you get a quick play the ball. You've got to try and get them on their back. So Steve Menzies was behind me during the game, and he kept saying, get them on their back, turn them over. And we couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And I think Inglis is a typical example. I mean, when he goes down, he goes down like a bloody big panther and on all fours and plays the ball quickly.
Yeah, he does.
Before the dummy half's even in front of him.
Don't even try to sell me on that Greg Inglis creates his own problems. Fioso dumped him on his head twice.
I'm not saying he does, but I'm saying he tries to get to the ground quickly and he contributes to it.
Everyone tries to get to the ground quickly.
Watch the replay again.
Jamie Lyon, I reckon, is the one who's in most trouble because he has a leg high up past his hip.
You're not listening. I agree, they're in trouble. But I think Greg Inglis contributes to it, and they're going to argue that strongly.
Well, now, they'll argue it, but whether it gets to first base or not, that other thing.
Jared Warrior-Hargreaves, high shot last night. Is he going to be in trouble?
Well, geez, he plays with...
Yes.
This time of the year, he's got to just calm down. They can't afford to not have him. I think he's got a case to answer as well.
Bad record as well.
Yes.
Now, the next question I want to ask you. Will Anthony Watmo be playing at Manly next year?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, as a board member, my thoughts are this, and I'll always go along with it. If the coach tells the board that he wants the player, then that player, we should do everything to keep the player. Last time I spoke to Jeff Toovey, his word was that he wanted him to play at Manly next year. If he's changed his mind, he needs to tell us.
Okay. Now, interesting emails that have been leaked into the Sun Herald today around Glenn Stewart. Clearly, the no offer to Glenn Stewart is at the base, at the heart of all this unrest between Manly players. Is that right?
Well, I think it's got a lot to do with it, yes.
Mm.
And I don't want to be a party to anybody thinking that as a board member that I would agree to the way that Glenn departed the club. He deserved an offer to be put to him, and it was my understanding that that would happen, and it didn't happen.
Okay.
And it didn't happen because of a phone call, which is detailed in that email, which, sometimes I think I don't want to be part of something that I don't think is in keeping with the club that I love and I'm a life member of and I've been part of for so long. I'm not going to put my hand up and go along with what other people think and may have done. And if I'm not part of that, I want our fans and our supporters and our players and the general public to know that.
Should that not be kept in confidence, given it was at board level?
A question was asked of me, and, you know, Danny Widler has contacts in the game. I don't shy away from anything that is the truth. And if that's the truth, so be it.
Okay. No, fair enough. Look, I just looking at the numbers that are in the actual contents of the email, just looking at the numbers, then just at least offer him 350 or 300 and try and top it up and just try and keep him there. But anyway, I know you're very close to Glenn and Brett, and that probably changes maybe the way you look at things. But an outsider looking in, he was a guy that deserved an offer.
Well, Jimmy, I don't want to be, like, there's been put out there that the board made the decision. The board didn't make the decision not to make an offer to Glenn Stewart.
Did Jeff Tuvey want to keep, based on what you said about Anthony Watmo, did Jeff Tuvey want to keep Glenn Stewart at Manly?
Yes.
Right, okay. All right. Hey, you better give us your zapper, mate.
Yeah, I think there could be, I don't think that the Bulldogs will beat Melbourne today, but I think they can cover the start.
Me
so
too.
So I'm going to go for Bulldogs. At the start, I think it's 9.5.
Correct, and it's into $1.75.
Okay, yeah, well, I reckon they'll cover that.
All right, yeah, I tend to agree with you there. I reckon it's going to be a knock-em-down, drag-em-out WrestleMania down there at Amy Park today. All right, the zapper is the Bulldogs, plus 9.5. It's into $1.75 at tab.com.au. As always, Zorb, straight to the point. We appreciate it.
Okay, boys.
Thanks, Zorb.
There he is, Peter Peters. You'll hear him next Sunday as well. Always firm opinions on the game of rugby league. Call now, 8571 1017. Call now for your chance to win a Z&Z watch, all courtesy of our great sponsor, Z&Z. You can find them. Shop 119, level 1 at the Westfield Shopping Town at Hurstville. Call now, 8571 1017.
Well, if you've never been to Hong Kong before, now here's your chance. Get on board the Big Sports Breakfast Hong Kong International Racing Tour. We fly out December 8th. Enjoy first-class accommodation. Happy Valley on the Wednesday night. It's terrific. And the big international day, Sha Tin, with VIP facilities. It's pretty smick. And don't forget, Lankan Rupee should be flying that Aussie flag. Get involved. Click on ambassadortravel.com.au right now or call 1-800-777-989.
50 months interest-free store-wide now at Harvey Norman. Zero interest, no deposit with equal monthly payments until November 2018. Technology, entertainment, home appliances, furniture, bedding in Manchester. Huge range in store and online. Buy now with 50 months interest-free. Zero interest, no deposit with 50 equal monthly payments until November 2018. Approved applicants only. Minimum finance amount $490. Interest applies if you do not comply with terms and conditions. Fees and exclusions apply. See website for details. Hurry. Limited time offer. 50 months interest-free store-wide at Harvey Norman.
Sundays just don't feel right without a dose of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Just to clarify for an update here between you and I, Stuart, for the Z&Z quiz, you are on 14 and I'm on 13.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's strong. Really tight, really tight.
Power coming to the front.
Yeah, well, now let's go to our contestants this week. We've got Billy on the line from Bidwell and Rod is on the line from Berkeley Vale. Now, Billy has said expressly that he would like to play with me this morning. Is that right, Billy? Good morning.
G'day, Jimmy. How you going, mate?
Yeah, really well. All right, here we go. I'm one down on Stuart. You need to do the job for me here, mate. Who's your team?
Doggies, mate.
Doggies, all right. Big day today for you.
That's it.
Question one. How many top-grade rugby league grand finals from the New South Wales Rugby League era through to the NRL were held at the Sydney Football Stadium and its names since? Was it 9, 10, 11 or 12? So how many rugby league grand finals at the SFS?
12?
Close. 11. 11.
Mind you, if you'd said 9, I would have said close as well.
Question 2, true or false? Under the new National Rugby Union competition's experimental laws, a conversion is worth 3 points.
True.
That is an outstanding guess there. That's right. Penalties and drop goals reduced
just
to 2
on,
points.
Just on the NRC, if you had the question how many people are going to the games, you could have had 2, 3 or 4.
Yeah, okay, I must admit. Actually, I think the numbers are all right on Fox.
They're probably good on TV.
I think they are.
No one's watching. Yes. The grounds look terrible when you're watching
it. Yeah, all right. Question 3. Which team qualified for this year's NRL finals in 8th spot?
That would be Brisbane.
How easy was that
seriously,
one, producer?
Seriously, Alan. Did you get bored? Did you get bored when you came up with that question? Or
ran out of questions?
It's like, was it like, oh, God, let's just make an easy one here.
All right, Billy. Two out of three. Good work. Over to you, Stuart.
Morning, Rod.
G'day, Stewie. How are you?
Good. Where are you? Who do you support?
Tigers, mate.
Oh, it's been a tough year, but that's right. We'll get you a watch. You get them all right, watch coming your way.
No worries.
Here we go. Question one. How many times has Craig Lowndes won the Sandown 500? Is it 5, 6, 7, or 8?
I'd say 7.
5.
Tough. That's the key one there. That's
a tough question, that one. Okay. True or false, Roger Federer has never been part of a winning Davis Cup final team. Sorry. Let me stop there. I don't know if I said Roger Davis or Roger Federer.
No, you said Roger Federer.
Roger Federer has never been part of a winning Davis Cup final team.
True.
Very good. Very good.
I tell you what, it's also true that Roger Davis has never been part of a Swiss winning Davis Cup final team. So well done on that one.
Rod. Okay, question three. Name one of the joint winners of this year's Brad Fittler medal.
Ryan Hoffman.
Very good. I would have thought you said Jared Hayne, but Ryan Hoffman is as good. And he was on the Big Sports Breakfast on, I think it might have been Friday.
Yeah,
very,
right.
Very happy with his victory.
St. Gregory's College boy. Now, you're going to ask Rod the tiebreaker question.
Yes.
I spoke to the loser of the quiz last week in the tiebreaker.
Yeah,
loser! And he was most upset. Most upset about the way the tiebreaker...
What, did you offer him a free watch?
No, I didn't. Nah. I said, that's the way we roll on Sunday, buddy.
Look, blame Owen and his
crappy
questions.
Yeah, producer Owen. Yeah.
No. All right, here we go. Rod, I'm going to ask you a question. You say, give me an answer. I won't say anything. Then we'll ask Billy and away we go. Tiebreaker question one. What was the total number of goals scored in last season's English Premier League?
Oh, 700.
Very good. Thank
you. 700 is your answer, Rod. We appreciate that. Now let's go to Billy at Bidwell. Billy, the question for you. What was the total number of goals scored in last season's English Premier League?
I will say 750.
Ooh, different tack this week, but I tell you what, it's a successful one.
Very good, Billy.
Great job, Billy. The answer is actually 1,052 goals were scored in last year's English Premier League. So, Billy from Bidwell, a Bulldogs supporter, you're going to send a watch out to you, all courtesy of Z&Z. Well done, mate, and good luck for the big game today.
Thanks, boys.
No
good
problem.
On you, Billy.
Good on you, Billy. Stay on the line.
I've got a better idea. Rather than just get the second bloke to have a stab at the number,
mm.
We should just make it higher or lower. Because that's what happens every week.
That's right. Yeah.
Higher or lower?
Yeah.
Unless he gets it right on the head. And then we go, higher or lower, all the same. What do you want to go?
So do we... all right. Higher or lower? We've surveyed 100 people. We come up with, I feel like Rob Bruff. Yeah. Come on down. All right. Now, Billy is our winner. He gets the Z&Z watch. He also goes into the draw for the major end of season prize drawn from the weekly winners. It's a $1,100 gold ring engraved with the club's last premiership victory. So for Billy, it'll be the 2004 Bulldogs Premiership. Z&Z are the makers of fine quality jewellery. They've been designing the NRL's grand final ring since 1997. What a good bloke Al is. He's a great bloke.
Well, you want some more free stuff, do you?
Tracy's watches in there. Shop 119, Level 1, Westfield Shopping Town at Hurstville. He will look after you.
Yes, he will. All right, we'll quickly go to a call before we go to the 9 o'clock news. Morning, Ray.
How you going, fellas?
Good, thank you.
Just want to talk about the Greg Inglis tackle, and I heard a commentator or one of you guys say a little bit earlier that Greg Inglis was trying to fight his way to the ground in the tackle.
Yes, he was.
Well, mate, with the law of physics is when you lift one leg up in the air, the body's reaction is to go down. When you lift two legs up in the air, where's the person going to go?
No,
the only way that the guy was going to go was down to the ground. When you lift one leg up in the air, it's like a teapot.
Ray, I'm not disputing that the fact that they lifted the tackle, Ray. No one's disputing the fact that they did lift him in the tackle. But the whole idea is to get to the ground as quickly as you can. And Greg Inglis puts himself, and he helps contribute to put himself in a dangerous position. Now, I'm not saying they're going to get off, but that's what they're going to argue.
Jamie Lyon had his leg up near Jamie Lyon's chest. How could Greg Inglis not be facing any other way but down to the ground?
But I'm not arguing that, Ray.
But Greg Inglis isn't trying to put himself in a dangerous position.
He's contributing to it, though. He's contributing to trying to get to the ground quickly. I'm not saying they're going to get off.
The rule is that if a player places his hand between a player's legs and lifts, that's
But who's disputing that, Ray? No one's disputing that.
Ray, I'll take your point. I am with you as well. I think if Anthony Watmo and Jamie Lyon do get a charge and they go to the judiciary on Wednesday and they try to get a downgrade or a not guilty by using the fact that Greg Inglis goes to the ground quickly, I think it'll be dismissed.
Well,
I understand what you're saying.
They're going to try and argue.
Of course they are. But I think it'll be dismissed because it's like, where else can he go?
But the first point is they've got their arm between his legs and they've lifted him. So that's
correct.
Point one. But if I was going to argue it and try and get him off, which I'm sure they will do to try and get...
Absolutely.
They're going to say he's going to try and get to the ground quickly.
Well, can you imagine the Manly side? They're already decimated by
correct.
Injuries. No Jamie Lyon, no Anthony Watmo. Whoever wins this game today, the Storm and the Bulldogs, will be playing a massively understrength Manly side. They'll still have the strength of Dean Bulldog Ritchie, of course. He'll
What's
be
he
up
playing, playing the front row, is he?
He's a 5'8", Dean, eh?
He's 5'8"?
Yeah, yeah, he played schoolboy rugby at an elite level.
Yeah, but that's not rugby league.
Yeah, but that's what Dean
He played in the NRC, did he?
He might get a game for the NRC. And a big treat here. We've got Ewan McKenzie and Matt Moylan coming up after the 9 o'clock news.
Sports Radio News for toyotamaterialhandling.com.au, Australia's first choice in forklifts.
State is apparently showing the execution of a third hostage. Sam Litzinger reports.
Extremists had threatened to kill British aid worker 44-year-old David Haynes, thought to be held in Syria, and it now appears they've done it. ISIS has released a video purportedly showing him being beheaded. A militant is seen warning British Prime Minister David Cameron.
If you, Cameron, persist in fighting the Islamic State, then you, like your master Obama, will have the blood of your people on your hands.
He says ISIS will never be defeated. ISIS militants beheaded two American journalists and posted the evidence online in videos earlier. Now ISIS is threatening to kill yet another British hostage.
Back home, diggers on home soil have been issued an alert after a uniformed officer was abused by a group of young men in Sydney's CBD. The Telegraph reports the threat was detailed in a security report emailed to officers before the terror threat level was raised on Friday. As tensions escalate, members of the Muslim community are this morning gathering in Lakemba to try to defuse anti-Islamic sentiments. They're holding a Muslims for Australia barbecue. Search crews, including the dog squad, are continuing their hunt for a three-year-old boy missing on the mid-north coast. William Tyrrell has been missing from his grandma's home in Kendal for more than 72 hours. Inspector Kim Fayance says the search will expand to several dams and bushland in the area.
By today, he is likely to be still and tucked up tight, so I have briefed all the search teams that they are looking for a small boy who is likely to be curled up and maybe covered and have found somewhere to hide.
Taxpayers could have to fork out for parenting classes in an extension of a plan to strengthen family relationships, Elizabeth Daniels reports.
As the divorce rate rises, the government is determined to make sure Australian families stay together. Its plan began with a trial of $200 counselling vouchers for newlywed couples, but the Social Services Minister has told the Telegraph a new scheme will turn the focus to expectant couples. First-time mothers and fathers will be offered support services. Kevin Andrews says it will ease the tension often created by having a child and is supported by child protection groups. Elizabeth Daniels, Macquarie National News.
Licensed clubs are pushing to open daycare centres in their venues in return for tax breaks on poker machine revenue. In a submission by Clubs Australia to the Productivity Commission, the organisation says it's well positioned to deliver affordable care. It estimates 1,000 clubs who pay income tax would be able to provide such a service. In other news, a truck driver has had his head slammed repeatedly against a car door during a violent road rage incident in Wetherill Park. And two Dutch doctors, feared to have contracted the deadly Ebola virus while working in Sierra Leone, will be flown back to the Netherlands. To sport a field goal, off the boot of Jamie Soward has secured Penrith a spot in the NRL Grand Final qualifier. The Panthers came from 6 points behind in the final 5 minutes to inch past the Roosters 19-18 at Allianz Stadium. Roosters coach Trent Robinson says their play was loose.
We just didn't pressure them enough, and that's they had energy at the end, and that's why they get the win.
North Queensland moves on to face the Bondi Club after downing Brisbane 32-20 in Townsville. Melbourne and Canterbury meet at Amy Park today in the other eliminator. The Wallabies are vowing to win back the fans after drawing its lowest home test crowd this century. Australia fought a late comeback from Argentina to secure a 32-25 win in front of 14,000 people. Fly half Bernard Foley says they're improving in their ability to clinch the close games.
We could have really run away with it or put that to bed a lot earlier than we did, and you know, so that's a bit disappointing.
A 22-point victory to Port Adelaide against Fremantle has assured the Power an AFL preliminary final. A win in the doubles against Uzbekistan has assured Australia a World Group place in the Davis Cup. Jason Day is tied fourth, three shots off the pace, heading into the fourth round of the PGA event in Atlanta. Australia has been handed a straight sets loss to the US at the World Volleyball Championships. And Chelsea and Everton are celebrating wins in the English Premier League. This is Macquarie National News. It's 9:04.
This sports update is for McGrath Mazda Liverpool, where Mazdas are more affordable with finance packages and weekly repayments available to approved purchases. McGrath Mazda on the Hume Highway just south of Liverpool.
Where there's always a great deal for you.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
A mostly sunny day, light winds, tops of 23 degrees on the coast, 26 in the west. The chance of showers tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. Right now in the city, it's 13 degrees, humidity at 91%, winds from the northwest at 13 kilometres an hour. It's 10 at Bankstown, 9 at Gosford, Penrith and Richmond.
And now making his way into the barriers is Lankan Rupee, the 5-year-old gelding from Mick Price's stable. Sorry, just a correction. Lankan Rupee is from the stable managed by Gary Davis. Make that Kevin Larson. Oh, excuse me again. It's the stable run by Matt McComb. Peter Aviano. Sorry.
Star Stable is back. Now you can manage your stable and compete with your mates straight from your mobile. Register now at starstable.com.au.
Gamble responsibly.
Sydney Radio's first sports breakfast program has been on the air 15 years. Let's take a listen to some of the past highlights of the Big Sports Breakfast.
Legendary runner, Herb Elliott.
Greg and I, obviously, doing breakfast radio, we get up very early.
And that little voice
and
says, stay in bed.
The little voice this morning told me, give it another 5 minutes, will you? Because it was freezing cold. Give it another 5 minutes. And I thought back, hey, look, I read Herb's Winning Attitudes book last night. No, beat the little voice this morning.
The insight there is that the voice goes away. So
it gets louder. It gets louder. He'll be back tomorrow morning, do you think?
He'll be back there tomorrow morning. And it wins in your mind sometimes. You think, oh, yeah, no, I can't spend another 5 minutes. But you just have to train yourself that when the clock hits the 12 on the hand hits the 12 on the clock, you just practice ignoring it.
Celebrating 15 years of the Big Sports Breakfast.
Oh, you've never heard anything like it.
This is Sky Sports Radio.
This is Lachlan. Lachlan winds up. Lachlan straight to Australia. Still going, Lachlan. Amazing. Oh, look at this. Henderson Gill. Gary Jack goes with him, and that's a great try. Oh, great Brendan Lynn, and he does a bit of a boogie. And the Union Jack flags here have gone absolutely crazy.
That's it. It's all tied. It's miles in the air. Hughes is coming around. And so it's a one. Let's look at his catch. Unbelievable, Stephen Waugh. What a catch.
Probably the best outfield catch you've ever seen.
Is Gascoigne going to have a crack? Yes, you know. Oh, I say! Brilliant! That is Coolboy's own stuff. Is there anything left from this man to surprise us? That was one of the finest free kicks this stadium has ever seen.
On Sky Sports Radio, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Chock full of sporting news and views from around the country and around the world. Plus, have your say. Here's Jimmy Smith and Stuart Clark.
Oh, we've got a massive hour of the program coming up right up till 10 o'clock. We've got Dean Bulldog Richie very shortly, Glenn Munsey with all the latest prices. Then we're going to go inside the Wallabies camp. They had a 32-25 win over the Pumas last night up at the Gold Coast. And then we're going to speak to Matty Moylan, an absolute star of the National Rugby League, just re-signed for the Panthers for a couple of years and played so well last night. They've got themselves a week off. Very exciting for all the Rugby League supporters out west. Now, we're trying to work out why the crowd wasn't great up there on the Gold Coast last night. The reason is you have to catch the train there. No parking allowed around the stadium. I lived there for 6 months and have to say it's the worst ground to get to. No name on that one, but that looks like an insider that's telling us why Robina is not attracting the crowds that it should/could.
Well, Clive Palmer used to blow up about that when he ran the Gold Coast footy team, didn't he?
That's right.
He, at one stage, he closed the ground. No one was allowed to watch.
Yeah, and they closed massive sections of it and only put crowd in certain areas.
Bit nutso, Clive, isn't he?
In fairness to Clive.
Well, there's nothing fairness about Clive.
Well,
mate.
In fairness to Clive.
You can't say anything that's fair about Clive.
Stuart, in fairness to Clive, if I had $5 billion, I'd come up with some harebrained ideas
as well.
You
put dinosaurs in your backyard?
Probably wouldn't do that. But I reckon there'd be people going...
I don't understand the point of the dinosaurs at the golf course. What's the point? Is it like a...
tourist attraction?
Is it a theme park now?
Can you ride it? Get on the T-Rex ride.
Clive.
I'll tell you what,
my
sons would love it. 8571 1017. Now, just before we speak to Dean Ritchie, we've got Bill on the line from Chatswood who's got a very good question from the game last night. G'day, Bill.
Good morning, gentlemen. First time caller.
Welcome to the program, Bill.
I just wanted to speak for a minute about last night's game.
Yes.
Yep.
Jamie Soward might not have had to kick that field goal if James Maloney had not been allowed to come on and take that conversion.
It's
the Roosters scored the try.
Yes, it's a good point. We were talking about it last night. We're talking about it this morning. James Maloney wasn't on the field when the try was scored. And we were trying to catch up with someone from the National Rugby League to get some sort of clarification. It's a good kick, good question, Bill. So what we're going to do now is ask our rugby league man, Dean Bulldog Ritchie, if he has an answer. G'day, Dino.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Yes, I do have an answer. I spoke to the NRL. And at that point, when James Maloney came back across the sideline... the video refereeing was still mulling over the try. So the try hadn't officially been given. It was given subsequently, but at that moment it hadn't been given. So given that's the case, Maloney was more than in his rights to take the kick.
So if they'd blown it just straight up try, then he couldn't have taken it, is what you're saying?
That's right, Stuart, yes.
Yeah. All right, so Corey Parker the week before, what was the situation there?
Yeah, a bit similar. I think it was a head knock, wasn't it, Jimmy?
Yeah, so I think they did an SCA on him. And then apparently if you have an SCA or sideline concussion assessment, doesn't matter. You can just come back into the game and retake your place. So
that's right, yeah. But as you say, for last night, Maloney, on face value, it looked like there'd been a rule broken.
Yeah.
But technically, it was spot on.
Okay, all right. What about the game last night at the Allianz Stadium? An absolute cracker. As good a semi-final as you've seen since how long, Dino?
Yeah, look, it was a great game. I really loved last night. First up, Jimmy, I just want to say that first 60 minutes on Friday of South Sydney was among the best football I've seen from any side this year, if not the best football. I just thought they were relentless, South Sydney. Yep. They were big. They were fast. They were just playing a different game to Manly, and it got to 40-0, and, I mean, that's obviously embarrassing. Manly did fight back late and scored a couple of tries, but I just thought for that first 60 minutes, wow, they would have blown any side away. I thought the Roosters last night really had the challenge thrown at them from South to step forward and make their own statement. And they did to some degree, but I just can't get over this Penrith side, guys. They just keep turning up and we keep riding them off. And I'm starting to think now that this is one of the great coaching achievements, Marvin Cleary, of the modern era.
Yeah, certainly. If they get to the grand final, if they win the grand final. We talked about this a little bit earlier, Dino, that there's still a little bit... Paul Green gets the Cowboys to the grand final. They win the... Well, you've got to put that up there. But certainly Ivan Cleary, hats off.
Well, they're missing 11 players as well, guys. Look,
yeah.
In my eyes, and I mean, people rubbish me for that opinion I'm about to give, I thought at full pelt, they would have been about 10 that ran 9th or 10th.
Mm.
You take 11 out of there and make you thinking 14th, 15th.
Mm.
And here they are, 80 minutes from a grand final. It's just an extraordinary effort. They're just playing for each other. And I heard you guys touch on Jamie Soward earlier in the show. And look, he does polarise people.
Mm.
His antics in the field can irritate some.
Mm.
But I've got to be honest, every time I've spoken to Jamie Soward, he's been more than pleasant and polite and courteous. So, from the media's point of view, he's good. But some fans from opposition clubs just don't take to him.
Oh, he understands theatre. I love the fact that he understands theatre and the shooting of the guns and all that sort of stuff. And it annoys as many people as it entertains. But that's theatre. And he gets it more than most other players, I reckon. I love what Jamie Soward's been doing this year. All right, Tarek Sims, we all reckon he's got some sort of issue. I say he won't be there. It's at least a grade one shoulder charge. What say you, Dino?
Yeah, I'm with you, Jimmy. I think it's grade one. I don't think you'll be there. Looking at the Hargraves one as well, guys.
Yep.
Grade one careless high, that's a base penalty of 75 points, but I think there's some potential loading there. So he'd be looking at 1 week.
Ugh.
Also, which would knock the Roosters around. And, of course, the one you discussed with Zorba, the line, and Watmau, dangerous throw on England. Certainly GI landed down on his neck region. It didn't look great visually. But, look, Inglis has gone down before. I heard you guys blowing about it a few moments ago. And, I'd like to see it in slow motion, but certainly there are concerns there for Manly. Mm. The good news for Manly is, though, that Matt Ballan initially was ruled out for the season with a broken bone in his foot. He was tipped to come back the week before the grand final, but now I'm hearing he may even come back next week, given the desperate stakes that Manly find themselves in.
Anyone else they can get out there, they'll be needing them.
Out there.
They need to get them all on track. All right, let's have a look at today's game. I don't know, I'll describe it as the weaker part of the draw now. It's the Storm and the Bulldogs. The winner gets to play Manly, and the winner of that gets to go to Penrith, play Penrith. Any changes? Have we had confirmation that Cameron Smith is actually going to play in this game, Dino?
Not 100%, Jimmy, but I think you'll find he'll be there. I can't see him missing the game, and the Storm officials are telling us quietly that he'll be there. Look, he's been in a moon boot all week. They'll give him until this afternoon to actually declare his fitness. But look, I'd be absolutely stunned if Cam Smith pulled out of this game. He'll be there. And Adesi Haslett took a 20-man squad down there. He's still got a bit of tinkering to do on his bench, but generally speaking, they have no late injury concerns. Although, talk in the Bulldogs camp this week was just absolute confidence, guys. And it sort of was a bit strange. I think they've lost 6 from 8, but they're really talking up their chances. And that's privately, guys. They're not boasting publicly. Just internally, they're just saying they're a real chance today, and they think they can get the cash down there. And given their form, you doubt it. But, yeah, the Dogs are ready to rock and roll.
Oh, I reckon they're a great hope. I love them at the +9.5. That's Zorba Zappa this week. Dino, were you at the Dez Hasler press conference during the week? I mean, Dez is, he lives on the outer edge of what's going on, but that was way out in the galaxy, that one.
Yeah, he's cooker. He's completely cooker.
You know he's listening. You know he's listening.
He's in Melbourne.
Yeah, he can miss it all he likes. I spoke to him the next day, and he said, look, it came across the G-up, didn't it? And I said, look, it did, to a degree, yeah, but that's all Dez wanted to be, was just a bit of humour. And he said, look, you know, I just get sick of seeing straight interviews week after week after week, coaches using the same cliches 1 week at a time, etc. So I think Dez just tries to lighten the mood a bit, and he's got an unusual personality, Dezzy, and what some people think is not humorous is Dez's way of being funny. And I've told him 100 times, guys, Dez, you're just not funny.
No. You're spot on,
like,
Dino.
I tell that to Jimmy every week.
He's spot on as well.
Now, what's going on with the Dragons? Any news out of there?
Yeah, there is a bit of news, guys. It looks like they're going to make some tough calls in the next couple of weeks with some players. I'm hearing 2 that might end up out, and maybe next door down there at Cronulla.
Might
be Jared Beal and Dylan Farrell, a couple of handy players, but apparently got some salary cap, not massive issues down there, but some players they feel are on money that perhaps a couple of years ago they were worthy of, not so much now. And even Trent Merrin's name keeps coming up. He's got another year to go on his contract down there. But and look, you'd think being an Origin player, they'd want to keep him long term, but I don't know the money that Trent is on. But certainly the club is looking at their salary cap. They're going through a review now, and I think you'll find some big names down there might be showing the door. And as I said, look for Beal and Farrell, a couple of handy players, to maybe shift down the road to the Sutherland Shire.
From what I understand, the coach and Trent Merrin aren't really seeing eye to eye at this point, and may not Trent may not be responding to Coach Paul McGregor's methods. One of the biggest signings that they'll have was Peter Mulholland, who, of course, is an old schoolboy coach of mine, and I've known Peter for a long time, but as a recruitment officer, he's had great success at the Bulldogs, at Panthers first, then the Bulldogs, and then of course up at Newcastle. They've got both sides in the lower grades that are firing at the moment, so that's going to be a big signing as well. Any other news around Dino?
Yeah, there is a bit, guys. Dylan Walker, I've made a few inquiries this morning. I think you'll find he's a real front runner for a spot in this Four Nations side later on this year. He's an absolute fabulous player, and
fair enough,
he's got a lot of strength, a lot of speed.
Yep.
So I just keep hearing that he will be on the cusp, if not in that Four Nations squad somewhere. Now, reports out of England, Marwan Kukash, he's the owner of the Salford Reds, to report in the Manchester paper overnight that he'll announce within 48 hours some sort of link with an NRL club. The NRL, at the moment, are unaware of it, but I know he's got money, plenty of it.
Wow. That's Marwan. I think Marwan is the rugby league club owner's equivalent of Dez Hasler.
Yeah, also, guys, Newcastle's the one being discussed around the traps. I just can't see how Newcastle could possibly go down that same path after the Tinkler debacle, which we've all experienced.
Mm.
Just before I go, guys, I just want to give a cheer out to a family friend. Her name's Nora Thompson. She's 95 on Wednesday. She's followed the Roosters, Jimmy, for 80 years.
Wow.
I rang Peter O'Sullivan during the week. I said, Sully, is there anything we could do? Very small for Nora, an 80-year fan. first thing she gets is a phone call from Jared Warrior Hargraves wishing her a happy birthday. And then that wasn't good enough for the Roosters. They then got Anthony Minicello to ring her. So lovely touch from the Roosters. They got beaten last night, but they've certainly won more fans through their actions off the field.
I'm just trying to do my numbers. Fair enough, Nora is a Roosters fan because when she was alive, they won comps in 1935, 36, 37. So that golden period there with Dave Brown, the Bradman of rugby league, being the star player for the Roosters, that's when Nora started supporting them. So
1934, I think you'll find, Jimmy. Yes, it's extraordinary, but yeah, a nice touch from the Roosters anyway.
Good stuff. Good on you, Dino. Appreciate that, mate.
Just quickly, guys, the winner of today, they've got Manly and Penrith. So yeah, they're certainly winnable semi-finals. So if a side can win today, a Bulldogs, for example, get on a little bit of a roll. You know, Manly are busted and Penrith are one game out, but they haven't been in the real big games before. So the winner of today, watch them to do a bit of damage in these finals.
Well, as they say in the World Cup, the group of death is definitely the Roosters, Cowboys, Rabbitohs, and the group of life is the Storm, the Bulldogs, Manly and Penrith, I reckon. There you go. Thanks, Dino.
All right, men, cheers.
Have a great Sunday.
I'm speechless.
You are speechless. Which is going to be really tough because it's a radio program.
Soccer
mate.
Analogy to soccer and combining soccer and rugby league.
That's correct.
That's like, wow.
They're both world games, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. So, played in China. You got on your John Rebo.
Gundagai is famous for dogs, tucker boxes, and great race meetings. Today, the Gundagai District Services Club and Forex Gold invite you to Gundagai Race Club's Absent Friends Race Day. Celebrating absent racing friends in the Gary Redford, the Charlie Redford, the Tom Wells, Jack Lindley, Darby Woods and the Frank Cripps Memorial Races. Hit the road to Gundagai today. Entry is free and you'll be racing with friends.
There are over 22,500 stories in the Westpac Lifesaver Helicopter Logbook.
The day we had Rick and Scott and their sons clinging to an esky 10 kilometres off their heads.
Then a guy trapped on a rock.
Plus the bushwalker missing near Mount Cole.
One Westpac Lifesaver Helicopter crew, three stories with happy endings. Thanks to people like you. You can help save lives by making a donation. Visit lifesaver.org.au and thank you for your support.
Spring's here, Tamworth's Racing. Tuesday's a high gain feeds race day in the capital of country racing and plenty of action's guaranteed, especially in the feature race, the High Gain Spring Cup. Punters are always guaranteed great trackside facilities, keen racing and strong betting at Tamworth, and the crowds are always friendly. If you're punting from home, stay tuned for Sky Sports Radio's Mounting Yard Mail. Hope to catch you trackside in Tamworth on Tuesday. The goss on your sport and your team, you're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Well, there's a man that was excited on Friday night. And then there was Glenn Munsey, who was even more excited, and he's on the phone to tell us all the latest prices. How are you feeling, Glenn?
Oh, top of the world, Stu, yourself.
Oh, mate, how were you on Friday night?
I was fairly well contained until about the 17-minute mark. Yeah, I'm going to run out of energy by about the 65th minute of the game.
Now, Glenn, not only did the Rabbitohs have to beat Manly, they also had to beat the curse of Glenn Munsey. You were 0-5 for this year. But
0-4.
0-4, oh, sorry.
But, thanks to all my mates for offering to send me to dinner and everything on Friday night and different things like that. But I told them, the curse had only operated at ANZ. It hadn't operated at Allianz. I hadn't seen them lose a game at Allianz because I hadn't been there.
Yeah,
so what are you going to do next time?
Good point.
Thankfully, I'm not here next weekend, so that's why it was also a bonus to win on Friday night that they get the week off.
Right. Now, you haven't answered Stuart's question.
It'll be very, very hard to keep me away.
Exactly.
All right, so they've got to overcome the curse of Glenn Munsey.
Yeah. Nigh on impossible.
All right, what are the prices saying?
Okay, well, let's look at today's match, and Jimmy's using his all his sporting analogies that he can. Now he's got the grip of death and the grip of life. Yeah. That's a new one, though, the grip of life. And it was also congratulations that Rooster supporter that Jimmy said when she was alive back in 34. She still is, Jimmy. Yeah.
But were you alive in 1934? Actually.
I was around. I was round.
Yeah, you're still round.
I'm a lot more rounder than I was then. Boys, this afternoon at just after 4 o'clock down there at Amy Park in Melbourne, the elimination final between Melbourne and the Dogs, and they continue to firm the Doggies here. They're 3.15 now, after as much as $3.60 was given about them midweek. Melbourne have gone $1.30 out to $1.38. And, well, the groundswell of opinion at the line here has been for the Dogs all week. It's a 9.5-point line. Now, Melbourne conceding that 9.5 is now 2.05. And the Bulldogs with the 9.5 start into 1.75. Their favoured way through the margins is actually Melbourne to win this by 13-plus at $2.45. Looking at the first try scorer, Marika Korobidi, Billy Slater and Sissa Wonga, all at $8. Justin O'Neill's at $9. Then we've got Will Chambers and Mahe Fanua at $10. Shortest price of the Doggies players is actually Mitch Brown, Tim Laffey, Josh Morris and Corey Thompson. They're all $13 chances in that try scorer market. Now, we have a market up on next week's matches, or next week's match, one of them already. For the finals, and that is the Roosters and Cowboys. The Roosters at $1.50, the Cowboys at $2.60, and the change to the Premiership market. South now become favourites for the National Rugby League at $2.85. They're in from $3.25. The Roosters went $2.75 out to $4.50. Penrith, 15-6.
Whoa.
Melbourne, despite not playing, are 8-7.50. The Cowboys went 9-8. Manly, 7.50 out to 10. And the Dogs haven't played yet, 34-17. So that's the National Rugby League markets. And New South Wales Cup today as well. Boys, a couple of matches there we're covering in the New South Wales Cup. And AFL fans, well, a long, long time since the sides in the top four went out in straight sets. And in fact, 26 out of 28 had gone through up until 2014 when both top four sides have gone out the back door straight away. So next week, the Swans play North Melbourne. The Swannies $1.25. North Melbourne at $4. And Hawthorn takes on Port Adelaide. Hawthorn $1.30 there. Port Adelaide at $3.55. And in the Premiership market there, well, the Swans and Hawthorn had the week off and they were equal favourites coming in to this weekend. And at the moment, as I scroll down to the bottom of and find that market, I can tell you that they are still there, equal favourites, both of those, and I've got the wrong market. No, there it is there, sorry. I was looking at the old one. 2.25 each of two. Port Adelaide at 7 and North Melbourne at 13. So really, really warming up. Jimmy,
yes,
and
yes.
Not getting to the New South Wales Cup game today?
I'll be travelling down to Melbourne and working for another radio station and covering the Storm.
Good to see you.
Jimmy,
congratulations on your best bet winning, Jimmy.
Thank you. Yeah, $2.90.
Won the 12,
never
had
in doubt.
When it was 24-0.
Never in doubt.
Yeah, because I tipped the Cowboys 13-plus. That's the only reason I asked.
Exactly. Glenn, smooth as a barbed wire sandwich this morning, as per usual. Appreciate that.
Smooth as a gravel driveway. See you, boys.
Glenn Munsey from tab.com.au there. I reckon John Longmire, the coach of the Sydney Swans, would have played with Brent Harvey, who's played well over 300 games for North Melbourne. So that'll be
or
one
Boomer,
of the stories.
Or Boomer, as I know.
Yeah, that's Boomer. One of the stories leading up to next week's clash, the Swans up against North Melbourne. 85-71. 10-17 is the open line number. Let's get to callers now. Shane is on the line from Mount Druitt. G'day, Shane.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Really well, thanks.
If Justin O'Neill is $9 at first try scorer, does that mean Sissa Wacker's out?
Good point.
Well, Dino wasn't even in the 17 at the start of the week. What's going on?
Dino didn't mention that, but
we'll check.
We'll have a look at that.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Anything else you got?
Yeah. Well, I am getting frantic text messages from Melbourne that Cameron Smith is no chance, and Hinchcliffe has been named at hooker. So I don't know what that'll mean. But Remy Castri. Look, I watched the replay this morning.
Yeah.
Jimmy, that's a try for all money.
Well, this is the thing. And Shane, Trent Robinson, and we've got a few emails this morning saying, Trent Robinson blowing up now, it's the ref's fault. Compared to other coaches, if it was Des Hasler, it'd have been gone red screaming. Jeff Tuvey would have been gone red screaming.
Inquiries.
He made his point. And to be honest, as a lover of the game, I'm glad that he didn't go over the top because all we would have been talking about was Trent Robinson's blow up at the referee. But Stuart and I have just watched it again.
We put it on the big screen.
Put it on the big screen here via YouTube. And it's clear that at no point during that is Remy Casti stopped.
Yep.
Or at no point during that tackle is the ball and his arm carrying the ball on the ground.
Yeah, well, look, I tell you, the Panthers are courageous and good luck to them, but if Casti gets that try awarded, it's 18-4, game over.
Correct.
Refereeing is really... Look, I don't bag refs hardly ever, but this is the worst I've ever seen it this year. We're going to have a grand final. I know it's a quote you hear every year. A grand final will be decided by a refereeing blunder, and it will happen this year. I just hope it's two stinking Sydney clubs.
All right. What a pleasant thought there. Shane, we do appreciate your call.
At worst on that decision, it should have gone upstairs. At worst.
Throw it upstairs.
At a minimum.
Throw it upstairs.
Have a look at this, could you? Not quite sure. I think it's a double movement.
Yeah.
Give it no try. That's fine.
Exactly.
But throw it upstairs to someone to have a look at.
Yeah.
Not just... whether it's costed Roosters the game or not, doesn't matter, and we don't want to take away from the Panthers. They played
good
footy and
they
deserve to win.
They did.
But it was worthy of a look,
yeah,
at minimum.
And I think Trenton Robinson's well within his rights to say, look,
if it was Manly, would we be calling for an inquiry? Would there be an inquiry call?
There'd be an investigation.
Correct.
They'd be asking for an investigation.
Investigation.
Now, just on this, before we get to Tanya for a sports update, Jimmy and Stewie, what an outrageous reaction over the Sharks' Mad Monday celebrations. NRL should visit the Huskers and Hillbillies end-of-year drink, where we're served by toothless barmaids. Okay, all right. Now, Bruce from Bomaderry goes in to explain a few other things about what happens at the Huskers and Hillbillies end-of-year drink, which we're not going to elaborate on at this point.
Well, maybe the Roosters can go next week after they get beaten, they can have their Mad Monday up there and have a look.
All right. So you're condoning the Sharks' behaviour on Monday, are you?
Look, as an isolated incident, it's not the first time some of that has happened, and it won't be the last time something like that happens with a football club or a cricket team or anything like that. However, given the year they've had... Ridiculous.
However, I know I'm in trouble with my wife when she says however, and I think you've probably got it exactly right there. 8571 1017, the open line number. Let's get a sports update from Tanya.
On the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with a sports update, here's Tanya White.
Penrith are one win away from the NRL Grand Final. The Panthers turning the title race on its head with a 19-18 win over the Roosters in last night's game at Allianz Stadium. The one-point difference coming from a field goal, seconds from the end from Jamie Soward. The Panthers now will make the most of a weekend off, while the Roosters will play North Queensland next Friday night after the Cowboys knocked out Brisbane last night in Townsville 32-20. Today, Melbourne play Canterbury at Amy Park and the winner to take on Manly next Saturday night. The Wallabies survived a late comeback from Argentina to win the Rugby Championship match on the Gold Coast, 32-25. Both teams scored three times, and for Australia, Michael Hooper crossed for a double. But Australia's hooker curse continued, with Tatau Polotunau taken off with an ankle injury. Meantime, New Zealand got away with a 14-10 win over the Springboks that game in Wellington. Port Adelaide will play Hawthorn in next weekend's AFL prelim final after coming from behind to beat Fremantle last night in Perth. The Dockers led 46-15 just before half-time, then Port's Robbie Gray booted four goals in the third quarter to give his side the lead, and they went on with it from there to win 105-83. In the other prelim final next weekend, the Swans will play North Melbourne. Liverpool crashed to a 1-0 home loss to Aston Villa in the EPL overnight, while Chelsea go clear on top of the table after a 4-2 win over Swansea. Arsenal and Man City drew 2-2. Elsewhere, Crystal Palace and Burnley 0-0, Southampton 4, Newcastle 0, Stoke 0, Leicester 1, Sunderland and Tottenham 2-2, West Brom 0, Everton 2. In the V8 Supercar round in Victoria, Jamie Wincup and Paul Dumbrell are on pole for the Sandown 500 today. Meantime, Marcus Ambrose will leave NASCAR at the end of the season and return to Australia, with speculation he will resume racing at home with American support. While in the MotoGP at San Marino tonight, Jorge Lorenzo is on pole. Currie Webb is in sight for a 8th golf major, sitting one off the lead after the third round of the Evian Championships in France. She's at 7-under. At -8 is South Korea's Hyo Joom Kim. And Jason Day... Sorry, what are you looking at me like that for?
No, I just love the fact that you actually attempted it.
Oh, no,
I would have said the Korean player.
No, that's the South Korean opponent.
That's right.
In Atlanta at the PGA Championships, Jason Day is in a tie for fourth. On top at -9, joint leaders Billy Horschel and Rory McIlroy. Jim Furyk is at -7. And Australia has returned to the World Group after successfully defeating Uzbekistan in the Davis Cup tie in Perth. Today's reverse singles are dead rubbers, and Sam Groth will make his Davis Cup debut. Speaking of which, Pat Rafter has slammed the International Tennis Federation because Leighton and Nick Kyrgios played the singles matches. They're required to play the reverse singles.
Yeah.
However, that never happens really when they're both dead rubbers. But there were only four players named in the Australian squad.
Mm.
So Leighton wanted to rest, obviously, Leighton and Nick. He's putting Sam Groth in to play one. And the other, he wanted Tanasi Kokkinakis to play.
Yeah.
But because he wasn't named in the team on Thursday, Pat wanted to put him in the team on Saturday morning, thinking that this was going to happen, but they said no. And Pat's parting words on that, he said, makes no sense to me at all. This is where the rule is just S-H-I-T.
Can I fire a broadside at Pat Rafter?
Yeah.
I love Pat Rafter.
Go on. Knock an Aussie icon because you're good at it.
No. I'm not going to knock. It's more at Bonds, which is another Aussie icon.
If Jono's listening at home, and I know he's not well.
He's been unwell, yeah.
Have a listen to this. Here we go.
Actually, it's probably Bonds more than. I'm not buying undies just because Nick Kyrgios is wearing them. Is anyone else thinking, third round Wimbledon? Okay, that's fine. But can you do something other than just that to sell undies to me?
Can't believe you're knocking.
Well, hang on.
You don't see what's on behind what's behind it.
Pat what, Rafter behind the undies? No, I can't. Tanya.
I mean, the premise behind it. Pat Rafter was the face of Bonds and the face of Australian tennis, so to speak, and he's passing the baton on.
He's a two-time Grand Slam champion who's a former world number one
Nick Kyrgios, I told you that story a couple of weeks ago. In the minds of Australian citizens in sport, Daniel Ricciardo and Nick Kyrgios are the top two at the moment that people know about. They're the face out there, and that's what they want.
If he's selling jocks, good luck to him.
Are you going
to
buy jocks because Nick Kyrgios is wearing them?
I haven't really thought about
he
it.
He does
to be
look
fair.
Good in them too.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So that's horribly, horribly degrading to men, Tanya.
You're objectifying him now.
You're objectifying
men. He's got a fabulous ability with a tennis racket.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. You're hanging out with the Sharks soon.
Next thing you know, Maria Sharapova is going to be on a screensaver. It's an absolute joke.
That's great.
On Sky Sports Radio, here's the traffic in Sydney.
Good morning once again at Castle Hill, Old Northern Road, out of action to traffic. It's only pedestrian traffic through from Showground Road to Castle Street because of the Orange Blossom Festival. Darling Street, Roselle, out of action. Victoria Road to Beattie Street after the recent building fire. And through Moore Street at Campsie, we've got an accident reported in as well. 50% off Australia's biggest range of ready-made curtains, 5 days only, in-store or online at Curtain Wonderland, home of the lowest prices. That's the latest Sydney traffic, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Well, if you've never been to Hong Kong before, now here's your chance. Get on board the Big Sports Breakfast Hong Kong International Racing Tour. We fly out December 8th. Enjoy first-class accommodation. Happy Valley on the Wednesday night. It's terrific. And the big international day at Sha Tin with VIP facilities. It's pretty smick. And don't forget, Lankan Rupee should be flying that Aussie flag. Get involved. Click on ambassadortravel.com.au right now or call 1-800-777-989.
With a proven track record of importing the right European horses, and on the back of Lucas Cranick, Mawingo, Salon Soldier, and more recently Oriental Lady and Aino Degas, Australian Bloodstock invites you to join them in the lightly raced Silver Trail. Boasting two impressive wins in France from only five starts, Silver Trail will be set for the championships in the Sydney Autumn. Shares from only $8,250, including GST. Visit AustralianBloodstock.com.au.
AFSL 259308.
Sports stars love to call the Big Sports Breakfast.
Hi, Liz Ellis, former Diamonds captain. I just wanted to say happy 15th birthday to the Big Sports Breakfast. There's been so many great times to be had on the show over the years. I've always enjoyed coming on, and even in my time hosting it, it was just so much fun.
Hi, wishing the Big Sports Breakfast happy 15th anniversary. Can't believe you're still going, you blokes. That's a joke. But anyway, good luck, boys, and good luck to TK and Slats. Hope there's many more years.
celebrating 15 years of the Big Sports Breakfast.
This is Sky Sports Radio.
On the Big Sports Breakfast weekend, it's time to talk rugby.
Excellent win from the Wallabies last night, 32 points to 25. A tight one up against the Pumas. A lot of people underestimate the Pumas. They've got a win in them somewhere. Mm. You just don't want it to be against you. And that's what Ewan McKenzie and the Wallabies were thinking last night. They were able to get the job done. And Ewan's been good enough to join us on the line. G'day, Ewan.
How are you going, guys?
Yeah, G'day, really well. Congratulations on the win. Maintain that winning record at home for 2014. What were your overall thoughts on the game?
I thought we played pretty well. Probably 50 minutes, I guess. And then we sort of invited them back into the contest. We played hard at them in that first part of the game. We only kicked the ball 7 times in the whole game, so plenty of running. But in the end, we were untidy in the last part of the game, and they got a bit more possession. And they're a pretty dangerous side. They've been putting a lot of pressure on every team they play, and they did that to us in the last part of the game. And yeah, so it was a bit tight.
You and every test match is important, but is it a work in progress to some extent with the Wallabies still?
Yeah, well, I'd like to think we're a little bit more consistent. We're a little bit up and down still, but it's been difficult. You know, we had injuries again during the game to Tafu Polisanao and Peter Beetham. So sort of the winger and hooker positions have been troublesome for us all year. You know, and we keep every game we seem to have to find a new player or reinvent another player. So it's hard to sort of get consistency in some of the parts of the game because you have to keep rotating players because of injury. But that's just the way it is.
Are you settled on Phipps and Foley at 9 and 10?
Yeah, they've been busy and so we've been winning. But we keep looking at that. We've got good players, and we'll keep. We recognise the combinations are important, but we still don't think we're playing our best football either. So we'll keep looking at the team, and we're still working with the same group of players. We haven't really introduced anyone too much from outside, around form. It's been more around injuries, but we've still got to try and play more consistently, better across 80 minutes, and so we're still going to keep chasing that. Most of our games now are offshore, so we've got. I think we've got 7 games overseas now and one game in Brisbane against the All Blacks. So it's different when you're playing away because you haven't got the home crowd to support you. So it's a whole different scene. But we'll keep working on our combinations.
I appreciate that this is probably not under your... Or you probably don't worry about this so much, but the crowd was more disappointing last night?
I do worry about it. This is very front and centre for me. We're in the entertainment business, you know, so getting fans to venues and it's a very important part of the whole business. You know, we only have 7 domestic games, so 7 domestic test matches to generate the revenue which funds the total game, you know, all the amateur part of the game.
Yeah, sure.
So it is important getting bumps on seats, so I'm very cognizant of, it was a small crowd. I was not enthusiastic, great venues, but, a small crowd nonetheless.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of talk before the game about how the Wallabies were going to try and get that bonus point for the 4 tries and missed out on it again last night with just the 3 tries. So is that then become your focus because of those things that you mentioned, because of the recognition that you do want to put on a good show?
Well, I don't recall. Well, I certainly didn't talk about scoring 4 tries. I think that's probably the fans sort of thinking laterally. And the problem is that if you've watched the form line of Argentina, they've run everyone close. You know, they've only beat them by 5 points in 2 games, and they've put pressure on New Zealand. So you've got to respect your opponents. You never talk about 4 tries. Although I do think, at half-time, we should have had 4 tries. If we'd been technically good enough, we were over the try line a bunch of times. We just didn't get the ball there. So I was disappointed that we didn't do that. But it's not a primary focus. It's that's a byproduct of playing well. And I think you start thinking about those things without 20 to go. If you've got 3 tries and ball with 20 to go, which we did, you definitely want to keep at it and push for that. But as it was, they had the ball in the last 20 minutes of the game, which made it very difficult.
Sure. You mentioned Plotta now got injured earlier in the match. He appears to get injured quite a bit, but it must be a worry given that you've still got a couple of very important test matches to go and then obviously off to the European side of things.
Yeah, like you said, he plays a game, huh? So it's a contact sport, so it's an ankle injury, so it's all a bit different for him. He made a big difference for us the first half, so that's the reason he was out there. He's 50th best, but he can't replace guys that easily. Yeah, we've got some good understudies, and they've been in the program already because of injuries we've already had. So it's not like we're going to go find someone new. We've actually got the guys in there. But we do drop down in experience, and that's always a challenge, particularly with some of the games we've got to play overseas.
Mm. Yeah, usually he's just knocking himself out, Tafu. So the fact that he's
older and wiser these days.
He's pretty
good.
Just on that note, he's volunteered himself. I read during the week for some sort of concussion study, which I think it's good of him to do because there's so much conjecture about the long term effects of concussion.
Yeah, I don't know much about that. The RAU's made a reasonable investment in this area, and obviously the National Rugby Board's got protocols, so we're pretty strict around the whole concussion business. We've got a doctor appointed by the RAU who now looks after it specifically. So in amongst all that, there's opportunities to research and gather more information, and obviously that would be the smart thing to do. So we're pretty proactive in that area.
Yeah. Well, Ewan, congratulations on the win last night. Maintains that unbeaten record at home for 2014. Your next game's in a fortnight at Cape Town up against the Springboks, and then the week after that you've got the Pumas over in Mendoza. So two tough games coming up on the road. We wish you all the best for them, and thanks for joining us early on a Sunday morning.
No problems, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Ewan.
There he is, Ewan McKenzie, always a good friend of the show, and happy to come on the show. We do like speaking to the players as well, but Ewan always makes himself available, so we certainly do appreciate that. Very excited about our next guest.
On the Big Sports Breakfast weekend, it's time to catch up with all the latest in rugby league.
Well, this guy just about is the latest in rugby league. He's been spectacular for the Penrith Panthers at the back for the last 2 years. This year, he's gone to another level. And he's certainly been playing well. He's been rewarded with a new contract out at Penrith, and they've earned themselves a week off after beating the Roosters last night at Allianz Stadium. I'm talking about their star fullback, Matt Moylan, who joins us on the line. G'day, Matt.
Hey, boys. How's it going?
G'day, hey, we're really well. How are you, mate? Has it sunk in? You're one game away from a grand final.
Yeah, probably hasn't sunk in yet, but once it does, it's still an important week. When we get to the game, our next game, so it's going to be tough no matter who we come up against. So be an important game to 80 minutes away from a grand final.
Did Ivan say what the plan is for the next couple of weeks? Obviously, you've got the weekend off, which you've earned, and I was interested to hear Jamie Soward say that last night again, that you deserved a week off, and I tend to agree with him, but I'd imagine it's not going to be beer and Skittles for the next 2 weeks.
No, Ivan hasn't said too much. He spoke to us a bit after the game, but We'll get back into it this week and start training and see what happens from there. We got our presentation on Monday night, so see what happens after that.
So you might have gone off a little bit early there, the presentation night. It carries right through to October. It might be a different story. You've re-signed with the club for another 2 years. I think you extended your contract that you already had in place for next year, and clearly you were happy to do that. Matt, what were the overriding factors as well as the remuneration that you were getting from the Panthers?
Yeah, I was still on for next year, and I got another 2 years after that. So I think it was a good extension, and the way the team's been going, how it's looking going forward with the players we've got and the recruitment they're doing at the moment, I think we're building for something special. So I just wanted to hang around. I never thought about leaving the club. So just the group of players we've got there out there at the moment is going good, so just wanted to stay around there.
Now, last night's game, the Roosters' first try, maybe the second try, you were a little bit hard done by there. You got taken out in the air. You didn't look overly pleased.
Yeah, I can't remember it too much at the moment. I'll have to have a look at it when we get it back into training, but I think there was, I got taken out in the air on one of them, but that's just footy stuff. Look, that happens. You're not always going to get the right call, but you just got to go with what happens.
If you feel like blowing up, Matt, go ahead. We're happy to take that. Now, I want to see, Jamie Soward took the field goal attempt. It was almost a worm burner. Didn't get much higher than the crossbar, but it made its mark. Now, you're the field goal specialist. How come the ball wasn't coming to you? Did it come to you the play earlier?
Yeah, it came the play earlier. We were meant to take one more in, and I got past the one earlier, and I wasn't ready to take it, so I just had to card it up, and see how he nailed it off the back of that. It wasn't the best-looking field goal, but it goes over, it still counts. So
It was worth 1 point, and that was the important thing.
They're all worth 1 point, and they got 2 points to get us the win.
That's it. Now, Matt, the other thing I keep hearing about you is that when you first came into, well, the lower grades with Penrith and then even into the NRL side, that your physical preparation didn't match your skill. What was it about this off-season that made you think that if you applied yourself to this game that you could improve the play that you're able to put out on the park week to week?
I just don't think I was focused enough on footy. I think the ability was always there. I just wasn't putting it into preparation. I was just not fully focused on footy and getting the most out of what I can. But I think I've had a word to a few of the boys there last year and still a few of them this year, and they've put me on the right path and getting the best out of me at the moment.
Who were those guys? Which guys? You there, Matt?
Yeah, gotcha.
Who were the guys that helped you with that preparation?
I spoke to a few of the older boys last year, like Clint Newton, Cam Serrato, Walshy, and then just a few of the other boys that are in there this year, like Sowie and Cody, Pete Wallace and that. So I think the experience they've all had throughout the game has definitely helped my form and me going forward in my career.
Absolutely. You're 100% with that. Matt, congratulations on the form you've displayed this year, the new contract with Penrith, the win last night. It's all looking rosy for the Panthers, and good luck in that match in 2 weeks' time, whoever it is you come up against.
Thanks, guys.
There he is, Matt Moylan, who is an absolute star of the National Rugby League right now.
Certainly is a star. Now, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Jared Haynes, well, Sonny Bill, but he's a forward, so we separate the forwards. Jared Haynes was your favourite back. Is Matt Moylan reaching Jared Haynes' proportion?
You reckon it's a little over the top?
Oh, no, I think he's a good player, but I'm asking you. He hasn't reached the Jared Haynes standard for me.
No.
But you're a bit flow with the wind here type stuff, so...
No, that's not true.
It is.
I've been rock solid with Jared Haynes for a number of years now.
You fell off him there in 2011, 12. You weren't following him, and now 14, you're back on him. So, is Matt Moylan above him yet?
No.
How close?
No. Oh, he's a good player, Matt Moylan.
No, how close?
Oh, what do you want? Put me in number?
Like, yeah, I would like numerical.
How many?
Feet. Give me feet.
He's
6 foot below.
Aeronautical miles. Do you want him?
Feet.
Feet. Out of what? It's a ridiculous question. Oh, he's 7 feet away from Jared
Haynes. Okay, that's fine. That's all I want.
He's standing 7 feet away from Jared Haynes.
All I
there you go. Make the most of that.
All I wanted to know was how close he is, and you just came up with some
7 feet.
7 feet. Okay, thanks. That's fine.
You wanted to know in
feet. I'll turn that to whatever I want it
to.
Yeah,
exactly. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever been asked in my life. Well
sure
done, Matt Moylan. He's a superstar, and it's great to see him playing so well.
6 feet?
Exactly. 6.5. He's a very good player. 85-71-10-17 is the open line number. Now, coming up, the National Racing Service with Paul Langham. It's Dubbo Cup Day. Timmy Moses is going to have a look at the big meeting out there. John Scorse is heading to Gundagai. And Dean Lester will take a look at the Victorian meetings. Plus, Alan Thomas on the Gold Coast. Peter Ellis taking a look at Halden. And Andrew Benzie will have all the latest in the racing news.
All right. Well, coming up now, the man we're going to talk to next,
yes,
he would have organised the Sharks Mad Monday 3 years ago, a couple of years ago. But today...
Changed man.
Not seen there. Would not be seen there. He's better than that. He's above that. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about Scotty Foster. Good morning, Scotty. You there, Scotty?
No, he's
dropped there.
He's organising the Wentworthville Mad Monday.
We'll try and get Scotty back. We're trying to find him there. He's organising.
Is he there? We think he's there. G'day, Scotty.
No,
he's gone. He's having problems with his phone. So let's go through these.
Party liaison. Not Van Wilder. Scott Foster.
Scott Foster. Party liaison. Now, Steve Foster and Sons Quality Cars, they've got a couple of sensational-looking VE Commodores with a club sport body kit. It's red-hot in colour with a beautiful set of 20-inch alloy wheels. And this is a car that people should take a second look at. Not only does it have the club sport body kit and the 20-inch alloy wheels, but it also has the sports exhaust and the sports suspension as well. And you can see this car on the website. Check it out, fosterskualitycars.com.au, fosterskualitycars.com.au, and it is a sizzling $9,390. That is red-hot value for this outstanding-looking vehicle, Stuart.
Yes, they also have the 2006 Hyundai Santa Fe and wagon, blue in colour. This one is automatic, has air conditioning, power steering, power windows, ABS, brakes, 8 airbags, cruise control, traction control, four-wheel locking diff. Do you know what a four-wheel drive locking diff is?
Not exactly.
I don't know, but it looks important, apparently.
Yeah.
Alloy wheels, tinted windows, roof racks, and a tow pack. A super family wagon and great for recreational activities. It's also at a red-hot price, which I think is amazing, $7,990. Go to the website, Foster's Quality Cars. Take a look at both these cars. That was the VE Commodore with Club Sport Body Kit, $9,390. Or the 2006 Hyundai Santa Fe and ADA all-wheel drive wagon, $7,990. Foster's Quality Cars. We'll give them a call, 9637-5024.
Now, do or die for Winnie for the Sydney Shield and the Ron Massey Cup sides. They're both out at Windsor today. Sydney Shield kicks off at 10:30, and the Ron Massey side are up against the Auburn Warriors at midday. Then he's going to be off to Leichhardt Oval to see the New South Wales Cup game. It's Wyong Roos versus Wentworthville at 4 p.m. That's going to be a big game. Big Mark O'Mealy involved in that one. Yeah, yeah, he still runs around. Congrats to Matty Foster for his selection in.
I'd suggest that's
when the sheet ends.
Yeah, that's in the City Country cricket game.
Oh, really?
I'm guessing.
Okay.
Or down to 19, or down to 21s, or Colts, or something like that for New South Wales cricket. Good little cricketer, Matty Foster.
Scotty, if you get your phone fixed, can you send us a text?
What did he get selected
in? What did Matty get selected in? Of course, that's Scotty's younger brother. And no surprise there that Scotty's off to the footy. And that Steve will be on the lot today.
He's always on the lot. Steve works every day.
I think Scotty, he does.
A day or two.
Yeah. Fosters.qualitycars.com.au. 8571 1017 is the open line number. Stuart's going to exclusively reveal his tip for this game coming up, the Storm versus the Bulldogs.
Exclusively.
Exclusively. And we'll do that very shortly. But let's go back to the open line, 8571 1017. G'day, Angelo.
Yeah, Jimmy, just in regards to your comment about Jamie Lyon and the tackle.
Yep.
I've had a look at it a few times. If you look at it, Jamie Lyon gets his leg, and then...
Oh. Sorry, Angelo, you got to right to the good bit, and then you dropped out.
We lost you at the critical time there, Angelo.
Something about his leg.
Yeah, and now, is he still there? No, he's gone. Oh.
We're having phone trouble.
That's left us... We are having phone trouble here. Signal, maybe it's us.
Signal's bad.
It's not you, it's me.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what we're doing.
There's an SMS that's come in from Kay from Bathurst. Morning to you, Kay. Stuart, you don't like the Roosters.
No.
That's okay. I don't like you or the drug Sharks. I follow the Eels. Morning, Kay. Hope you're having a nice day up there at Bathurst.
Yeah, fair enough. Now, here's an email that's come in. If you want to send an email, you go to the website, skysportsradio.com.au. Click on the feedback icon. So this is from Mr. Bones. Trent whinging again after a loss. Funny how it's always the ref's fault. That's from Bones. Well, I've said it before.
Yeah, good on you, Trent.
Very very moderate, I would have thought, Trent's complaints.
He was. Actually, Trent is very reserved in his press conferences. He doesn't blow up a tree. He doesn't call for an inquiry. He doesn't call for, you know,
royal
commissions into refereeing.
No.
He doesn't call for government funding into refereeing. He just, you know, I think he takes it. I think he also realises he's got a pretty good team around him and he doesn't need to blow up a heap.
And the other thing about it is that we were talking about the commentators and talking about the game, and you brought up a cricket analogy.
You were going to ask me a question about this.
Yeah, I was.
You saved it 4 minutes tonight.
I think if I'm the National Rugby League, I'm encouraging, and I use that word loosely, and you can encourage in many different ways, encouraging my broadcasters, Channel 9 and Fox Sports, to maintain some sort of positivity around the game they're broadcasting.
Well, as I said to you on the phone during the week, that the BCCI pay the certain commentators in the cricket feed from India.
Right.
They pay them, so they're on the payroll.
Right.
So I'd suggest they're going to say positive things all the time.
So be critical of your paymaster. Very hard to do.
Not going to happen.
That's why I'm always
commending TAB. What a great organisation they are.
They are fantastic.
Sky Sports Radio, what a wonderful organisation.
Magnificent.
It's really good employment.
Now, we think we've got Angelo back on the line. G'day, Angelo.
Yeah, Jimmy, just in regards to the tackle that Jamie Lyon did on Greg Inglis. If you look at it, he does grab his leg.
Yes.
But then he is in an upright position, and then Anthony Watmell comes up and grabs the other leg, and that's when he flips over.
Yes.
Jamie Lyon, at no time did he flip him over. He was holding his leg. I think Watmell's got the problem, not Jamie Lyon.
All right, I'll have another look at it. But, you know, the visual that I have in my head is that Jamie Lyon has Greg Inglis's leg up around his chest area.
Yeah.
But you can't get there other than lifting it to that point.
It's going to go to the judiciary. There's no question that will end up at the judiciary. They're going to fight it. They're going to say Greg Inglis tried to get to the ground quickly and he contributed to it. And I agree with you. I think it'll get thrown out.
Yeah.
But if I was Manly, I'd definitely argue that.
Yeah, that's right. You can argue it.
You definitely
doesn't
argue
mean you're
it.
Going to be successful.
And, you know, who knows what... And in all fairness, with the judiciary, who knows what you're going to get? It's not like there's consistency in the thing.
So should we suspend Greg Inglis for trying to spear-tackle himself all the time?
But... he's not on report. How can we do that?
No, we'll put Greg on report for spear-tackling himself.
And in saying that again, he does get spear-tackled a lot.
Okay.
Why does Greg Inglis get spear-tackled a lot? Because he's a good player?
No, I'm not going to say that people go out and try and spear-tackle Greg Inglis.
But
I don't think that's right.
But
so it's a technique thing. But
you can't do it.
You can't lift his legs.
Point A, you can't lift his legs. He's just right. So big and strong. How else can you get him on the ground?
Yeah. Scotty rang back to say that a lock diff stops the wheels from spinning when it's in four-wheel drive.
Okay. Thanks,
there
Scotty.
You go. Thanks, Scotty. Appreciate that. Now you get back to your footy, mate. The pie and coke or something.
Let poor old dad on the lot there.
Exactly. Another email that's coming in here. Mr. Quintessential says, boys, I think you need to have a look at your parent company's website. The tab has the Rabbitohs and the Roosters at the top two of the premiership favourites. How then is their side of the draw weaker?
I know, you've been saying it all morning. You just think the teams in that side of the comp are better teams than the other side.
Well, that explains it, Mr. Quintessential. I think it's the stronger side of the comp, evidenced by the fact that the tab have the Roosters and the Rabbitohs as the shortest price favourites, and the Cowboys are on that side as well. The weaker side, or as I like to call it, the group of life.
You were calling it the Panthers side before.
The group of life, the Storm, the Bulldogs, Manly, Penrith. That's the group of life.
As sung by Ricky Martin and the Cup of Life.
Yeah, what a good song that was. Hi, guys. Could not have happened to a better team. That's why they're called the Rorters. That's from Stan.
Good on you, Stan.
Mate of yours.
Get a hat out the stand, would you?
No hat for that.
What? That was a good SMS.
Here's another one. Steelers sock. The grand final will now be between Souths and Melbourne. Souths will win by 8 points. All right, you heard it there first. Sock. Who's going to win today, Stuart?
Oh, I'm exclusively tipping the Storm. I'm not sure. I know we had a call earlier from... who called?
Shane.
Shane said that Cameron Smith's definitely out.
Mm.
I'll believe that when I see it.
Yeah, me too. I think Cameron Smith's playing. I think the Storm will win, but I think it'll be a close one. Bulldogs +9.5 if you're thinking heavier bet. If you do gamble, gamble responsibly. And I mean that you driving home, Stuart. Well, have a great day, everyone.
Z&Z Jewellers has been a Hurstville Instagram.